much about.
We had such a good time sitting on the floor eating that bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
And now it's time for another episode of the Many Reactions of Psycho Mike. Megan Fox. Oh. Christian Bale. Pete Wentz. Oh. Slayer. Oh. Kirsten Dunst. The Dallas Cowboys. Wah, 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 wah,
wah. It was dubbed that by a guy on a West Coast radio station named Psycho Mike. So do we really want to trust?
It's not the Psycho Mike years, it's the Letterman years.
Yeah,
Psycho Mike is clean in this deal.
Nothing to do with you.
Yeah. H-U-N-G-R-Y. Mike's butt has no alibi. It's hungry. It's hungry.
Yeah.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bullshit.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Easy in, easy out, easy lube.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
This one seems to be about the queer.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
You need to go to a doctor for something like that.
Roll another one.
This is it. I mean, this is really it.
Just like the other one.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
This one seems to be about to end.
Christ,
I don't have another cent.
Being from Tennessee, are you as big of a fan as Paramore as I am?
But the one guard that joined.
Why are you wasting our time?
Just pass it around.
Do you know the fucking man?
But the one guard that joined, my friend.
You are loud and clear.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Milton!
Our feature presentation.
So I'm talking about.
Me too. I love Friday. Are you kidding me?
Friday the
15th of October?
1, 2, 3!
Oh, somebody got a double bass.
Wow.
What happened over there? Look at Dave.
Dave's rocking.
Wow.
Good sesh, everybody. Good sesh.
Nice.
Hey, it is Friday. Mel Fon makes its appearances on the Kevin DeBean Show Fridays in the month of Rocktober. And you can...
We're ready. Sorry.
Oh, no. Well, you don't have to do it again.
Okay.
I was just bringing
usually,
people up to speed.
Do.
Don't
usually.
Say it.
Yeah.
Don't say the word? Don't
right.
say the R word?
No.
Okay. For folks who maybe haven't heard it before and are just terribly confused right now, I just wanted to tell them what was happening.
Okay.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number if you want to get on the air. We got a prize for you. You get on the air, you say, what did you do? And then we give you stuff.
You.
So it's a pretty good deal. I don't know why this story amuses me so much because it's not funny. But Michael Ireland is his name, and he, you know, was doing the Lord's work at the Cheetah Club near West Palm Beach.
All right.
Sometime back. And somehow, and what goes on at the Cheetah Club? Kevin, you would know. There's no strip club in this country you haven't been to. What goes on in the Cheetah Club where Suki, the stripper on stage, managed to hit him in the eye with her spiked high heel while she was dancing?
Wow.
You don't hear about that very often, where somebody actually gets injured at a strip club from the dancer, right?
No, that's odd, especially to have her shoe that high.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what was going on, but I need to go see him for myself.
Could it
you
have
really do.
Wait to
hear
how
the story
her
ends.
Foot, maybe?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, it didn't even occur to me that it might have left her foot. I was thinking somehow she kicked him in the face.
Oh, probably. It's a strip club.
By the way, say two things. One of two things either happened.
All right.
When they're doing the lap dance, God, it's hard to do this with radio-friendly language. And then they do kind of a mock 69 position.
Right.
Oh.
And they're flipping their legs up in the air to do so. Maybe that happened.
Right.
Or, and I have seen this happen, he was getting too close to the stage and they do the thing where they spin around the pole and he just caught an errant foot right to the dome.
Oh, that would have been great. Yeah.
Or he was grabbing and she just kicked him in the face.
Yeah.
That's C.
I mean, yeah,
that could be too.
The high heel punctured his eye socket.
Oh, no.
Broke bones around his eye and nose and left the man with permanent double vision.
So now he sees two strippers for the price of one.
That is a good way to look at it.
Wow, he's lucky.
Until he walks outside, then he sees through everything for the price of none. And it's funny because we so often talk about how you're at the high, 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 things are great, 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 and then all of a sudden not so much 1 second later. Yeah. This is a perfect example of you're in a strip club in West Palm Beach and life couldn't be any better, and the next thing you know, you're going blind, right? Well, anyway, the incident happened in 2008, and it just got settled out of court. The strip club decided rather than take it to court, they would settle. What do you suppose that injury is worth? What do you suppose that man got for being
permanent
double vision?
Or just double vision?
No, just double vision.
I don't know. I'd say
it's our new game, you be the jury.
$500 million.
I was going to say $50,000.
Oh, all right.
Well, the truth is somewhere in between. $650,000 is what he got.
That's
wow.
pretty penny.
That's more than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, especially
Penny's been said in a long time.
Especially for a settlement, by the way, because usually they really try to cheap out if they're not going to go to court. But $650,000, and again, just like my question with the Chilean miners, is it worth it? Is it worth it to have double vision for life for $650,000? For
how old is the dude? I mean, if he's older,
that's a good question.
Sure.
Oh yeah, it doesn't say in the article.
If he's young, no.
If he's 20, it's terrible.
You're right. If he's 75,
right. What are you
deal
lose?
With it for 3 years, right?
So, all right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right, for Los Angelinos, the Haunted Hayride is back. It's at its new home at the haunted grounds of Griffith Park's Old Zoo. Seems like this is a good time of year to run a haunted hayride. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's
the perfect time, really.
That's your prize for being on with us at 1-800-520-1067. Website, by the way, is losangeleshauntedhayride.com. Time for What to Do, Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
Did already.
We already hit it? Okay.
Yep.
Let's move on then.
All right. And I'm not Steve. All right. Let's go to David. Hi, David.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Well, I got a good one for your death corner beam.
Oh, yeah. Tell me.
I pick up trash. I clean receptacles for parks and big facilities, buildings.
And you'd rather be dead?
No, not really. Not after this. Well, I found this guy. He's like this bum at a park receptacle face down. When I poked at him with my broom, he didn't wake up, so I called the park ranger.
Mm.
Park ranger checks him. He's dead. When I come back a couple weeks after, he tells me that he got the autopsy report. He died of poisoning. The poison was that he ate too much poop.
Oh, really?
No.
Yep.
Yes.
No, David.
Yep.
Oh, yes. Best story ever.
Why did you tell us that? We can't unhear that.
Right, but because it's the best story ever.
We can't unhear that, though. That won't go away. That's now there in my brain.
Right. I'm good with that. I like it. It's unique.
It is unique.
I don't know. First time a human being has died that way? I don't know.
No.
No, probably not.
Gosh.
I don't want to know if you have info.
No, I was just going to say from Loveline, unfortunately, it's extremely common for people with certain psychiatric conditions to do that.
Right.
And it's just...
It's not
just,
extremely common, by the way.
It is common
enough that there's a name for it and they know about it. That's
no, but
for, sure.
for people in mental institutions, it's like 50% of the people in a mental institution do that. I mean, it's that common.
Oh, my God.
All right.
And it's actually kind of sad because it just goes to show that there's people out there with untreated
Wait a minute. Hold
conditions.
On. You're saying that's sad?
That's way sad.
Eating poop until you die is sad now, Mike? Wow, we really lowered the bar.
But now the guy's got a great story, right?
That's right.
Right, everybody?
It was worth it for your story.
Sure.
You're going in a bar, you're hitting on a woman, tell her that story.
You're in.
You're in bed with her immediately.
David's got an opening line forever. How about Ivan, line two on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Ivan. Welcome to the show. What to do?
Good morning.
What's going on?
I got a problem with my kid being bullied at school. What's the Kevin and Bean situation
at? Your kid is being bullied? How old is he?
11.
11. All right.
What kind of bullying?
Pushing around, kind of. Well, where I come from is called pumpkin. You know,
okay.
Around.
Right. Rear naked chokehold is my first. That's my first suggestion. And then my second suggestion is something we haven't thought about in a long time, and that's...
I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
Just stock hot Cheetos. Stock them deep and sell them cheap. And when the kids come up to bully him, you just hand them the hot Cheetos.
They'll
Boom.
Be so happy. And Jeez. Their booties will be burning.
That's true.
What is it about your kid that he tells you he's being picked on about? Is there anything in particular, or is he just for no reason kind of been picked out randomly?
Well, he's a smarter kid, so, you know, I'm probably an older kid or a bigger kid trying to push him around because I guess thinks he's a pushover or something.
Yeah. Does he wear a Raider shirt?
Yeah.
Thank you, Ivan.
Well, that explains everything.
So glad we could be helpful to Ivan.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't want to go into your man cave.
Okay, I don't want that either. Adam Carolla will be here because it's Friday.
Yeah.
We have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Yeah.
The host of Dirty Jobs, Mike Rowe, will be in studio. We have the stars of Jackass 3D, Johnny Knoxville and Wee Man will be in studio. We have LaQuisha taking a look at last night's Jersey Shore.
Poor LaQuisha.
Petros Papadakis talking sports. College and NFL. So we got that coming up. We'll take a quick break and come back with the showbiz beat.
Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs coming up. Also, Petros Papadakis and our friends Johnny Knoxville and Wee Man from the Jackass 3D movie. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman on the 15th of Rocktober.
What any of those noises are.
Nice to have Ralph Garman back behind the skins, by the way, making his first appearance this month in Melfod. How about that?
Nicely done. All right.
White man
go.
Taking a Mexican's job away for a change, by the way. You don't see that very often. Pushing Dave off. All right. Welcome, Ralph. Great to have you back in the band.
It's the first time I've played drums since last October.
Wow.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Got to kind of get in shape,
huh? Got to win in cold.
Yeah.
But it's all right. It's a good time.
All right. Let's
good
talk. Showbiz B, what's going on?
Christina Aguilera was a busy little bee yesterday. Even though Tuesday she told everyone that she and her husband were just separated, turns out that she filed for divorce from Jordan Bratman on the grounds of irreconcilable differences yesterday. Now, as you can imagine, there is a prenup in place for this high-powered couple. However, Christina, according to the paperwork, is asking a judge to award her the rights to all of her earnings.
Wow.
Before she met Jordan, during their relationship, and anything after. She wants to keep it all.
But they had a prenup.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't always mean that people want to honor those prenups.
Right.
Hmm. And apparently she thinks she's entitled to keep all her cash. If I'm Jordan Bratman, I'm like, nuh-uh. Sister. Snap.
I guess you gotta ask.
Rumor has it, by the way, that the irreconcilable difference is she was boning another dude.
Oh.
Really?
And he didn't care for that. That was their big difference.
He couldn't they had reconcile that?
Apparently he couldn't.
Huh.
So, it's rare when the woman is the cheating party. It's good to know that we've come far enough in our evolution that women can break up marriages by cheating.
Right. Equal rights.
Warms my heart. Speaking of divorces, Linda Evangelista, the supermodel, has dumped her latest billionaire. New York Post's Page Six says that she broke up with Hard Rock founder Peter Morton. If you are Peter Morton, and you're a billionaire who started Hard Rock, you can't hold on to a supermodel. Who can, really?
Well, they've been together a long time.
I know, but you're supposed to do the dumping. You say, excuse me, Linda Evangelista, get a little long in the tooth for a supermodel. It's time for me to move on.
I need to trade up. True. Maybe she traded up.
Time for me to thumb through the Victoria's Secret catalog and pick out a model instead of some clothing. That's what he should be doing. That's what a billionaire should be doing. You pick up the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition and you use it like Amazon.com. You just point and click.
Right.
Yeah, if you can't do that, what's the point?
Right, Lisa. Why
exactly.
be rich?
That's the whole point.
Why be rich? That's why men get rich.
Mm-hmm. Why men do everything.
It is the motivation behind everything that we do.
That's true.
If we didn't want women, we would just sit on the couch and just eat Cheetos and watch television.
Play video games.
The motivation for everything we accomplish is the...
He should circle the models in the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit issue and just hand it to his assistant and say, bring me those.
Bathe them and bring them oiled and covered in unguents. To my tent.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's very hot.
All right.
Speaking of sexy, Katy Perry in the news. Katy Brand, a little early for that. But she will be Katy Brand after they get married in India. That's a big F you to your guests, isn't it? Really? Yeah, we'd love to have to come. We'd love to go to your wedding. Where is that? That'd be India. We want you all to fly to Bombay for our wedding. Yeah, but you're American and you're British, right? So this is just an F you to all of us who are bringing you gifts.
We just had that conversation with some people we work with who were having a wedding in Hawaii this month, and we determined they don't expect any of us to come to the wedding. They just invited us so that we would have to give them gifts. It may be exactly the same thing going on here.
No, here they want a big, big bash. They've invited about 1,000 people, if you believe the inside information that's leaking out about the wedding. And this would make Kevin and Bean very happy. They're asking everyone to wear the same color.
What?
So when they look out to their many guests at the wedding, they will see a sea of fill in the blank. They haven't said what color it is yet, but I'm guessing it's white, because that would be just so spectacular.
Huh.
Although she's wearing white, so maybe not.
We're the same color.
Maybe they're wearing mauve.
You know, it shouldn't be work to go to a wedding. It's already an obligation. Don't make it more difficult than it is.
Go out and buy something in this color and then fly to India.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
I never thought I'd be doing a Harry Hamlin story in the showbiz news.
Yeah.
Nor should you.
You'll say au contraire, mon frere, when you hear this story.
You will never say that.
You will say un consider, mon frere.
Maybe
I'll say my version of it. Yes. Yeah.
Harry Hamlin, for those of you who don't know, was at one time a big, big television star. He was a star of a TV show called L.A. Law.
And he was hot.
He was dreamy.
Yes.
He was a heartthrob. The ladies loved him.
Mm-hmm. He's a little simian.
The L.A. Law show was like Stephen Bochco's first big, 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 big hit on television.
Right.
And he is married to Lisa Rinna, of course, and they've got a reality show now. And it turns out that Harry tried to visit Canada recently, and the people at the border said, oh, no, you can't come in.
You wouldn't let him in the country?
You are a felon, sir.
What?
For what?
Well, here's the thing. 40 years ago, when he was attending UC Berkeley, Harry got arrested for running an illegal brothel. He was running a brothel at Berkeley.
What? Come on.
Au contraire, mon frère.
See?
Harry was basically a pimp in college.
That's impressive.
I mean that in the best possible way. He's running a brothel.
Has he not tried to leave the country ever?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think Canada is particularly touchy about your criminal past.
If you're coming up from the United States. Anywhere else, fine.
Yeah, it's true.
You're all good.
Now, when he was arrested initially, his lawyer negotiated a deal where the charges were dropped to a lesser charge when he was convicted.
Well, then if he's convicted of a lesser charge.
Well, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And they said, no, we still consider you a felon because of the initial charges that you were arrested on.
What?
So he's got to take criminal rehabilitation classes to satisfy the Canadian authorities before he can get across the border. And
this is 40 years ago.
40 years ago when he was in college at UC Berkeley.
Unbelievable.
But the real part of the story is, dude is running a brothel.
Yes, indeed.
So weak.
At Berkeley.
Pretty strong.
That's awesome. It was like Risky Business, but for reals.
Wow. How did that story not get out before?
I don't know, but I'm looking at Harry Hamlin in a brand new light now.
That's great.
I love him now.
I want to be him.
Hey, here's a surprise reality television. is basing a new show on the Chilean mine disaster.
Reality television?
Spike TV has announced they're doing a reality show based in the mining industry called Coal.
Coal. Maybe these guys will get trapped, too.
The show is produced by the same guys who do Deadliest Catch, so I'm sure they're hoping for a cave-in.
Sure.
They're going to show the everyday dangers of the hardworking coal miners at a mine in Westchester, West Virginia.
Do you think there's a lot of inherent drama in the day-to-day work of a coal miner?
Nope.
A lot of them. No.
Other than the cave-ins, when those happen, yeah. I think it's just a lot of that. There's going to be a lot of that on the show.
That doesn't sound good, but... Who knows?
Yeah. Westchester, West Virginia, by the way, where the bars have a 2-tooth minimum.
Mm. Oh, well, maybe then.
That's a good-looking crew there in West Virginia.
Those are the people that are mining. Maybe it will be good.
By the way, an executive at Spike TV says, it didn't take a tragedy and then a miracle to get us excited about this show. So apparently they were planning it all along.
Nope.
If you believe them.
Nice try.
Sure.
And speaking of boring reality TV shows, Rob Lowe is producing a show for E! Called Potomac Fever.
Potomac Fever.
It's a reality show that is going to focus on up-and-coming politicians as they move through the ranks of the nation's capital.
He's so obsessed with Washington, D.C. and the inner circle and politics, yet he quit The West Wing, which was the best show ever about politics. He walked away from that so he could go off and do 20 other shows about a similar topic that weren't as good.
Yes. But now he's going to give us Potomac Fever.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I had that once, and a little Cipro will clear that right up.
Is that right?
Potomac Fever, yeah. Don't go swimming in the Potomac, I'll tell you that much. With an open cut, you will get Potomac Fever.
Good advice.
Yeah. And a small fish will swim up your urethra. That's
true, too. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actress, director, stunner, supermodel, Penny Marshall, celebrates her 60th birthday today.
Whoa.
She is so hot. She's the sexiest woman in show business.
you let us down that path, and we were ready. Hook, line, and sinker. We were so ready. We were so excited for whatever name was coming, and then you did that to us.
Most of the time, you can point back to a woman in her prime.
Right. In her day, she was a looker. You can always say that about a Hollywood starlet. But
Nope.
Not exactly the stuff erections are made of.
No.
Correct.
Singer Tito Jackson is 57 years old today. Actress Vanessa Marcil celebrates her 42nd birthday. Chef Emeril Lagasse, bam, is 51 years old today. And rapper Genuine celebrates his 35th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman and Walking Showbiz Beat.
Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph's got the movie beat for you coming up right now, though. We want to talk about the band Kiss.
Who are these clowns?
Kiss? You don't know who Kiss is?
No, never heard of them. They look like idiots to me.
No, dude, these are four of the smartest guys who ever lived. They're these Jewish guys that grew up in New York, and they put on guitars and makeup to get girls, and all their songs are about f***ing.
I'm listening.
Gene Simmons, friend of the Kevin and Bean Show, is on the phone, Kevin. You know he's the busiest man we know. You know that the guy never stops dealing. And he's now on a college speaking tour. At least he stopped by Pitzer's Benson Auditorium, which, Lisa May, you said is a college where?
In Claremont.
California.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. And he was speaking and giving advice to the kids. And I don't know whether anyone listening is going to ever be as successful as Gene Simmons is, but nice effort. Anyway, hi, Gene. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. Kevin Bean, you are a handsome and powerful man.
That's
and
very true.
I'm always appreciative of you having me on our show. But before we go any further, Miss Lisa May.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
It's great to just hear your voice.
All right. Thank you.
Now, Gene, is it true that you told the students from this college the way to be successful is to be a rock star? Because that seems like a bit of a long shot.
Yeah, for most of them.
Well, you know, don't misinterpret what I was saying.
Okay.
I did say that, and I said it in jest. But what I meant was, be a rock star in your own way. You have to be committed to what you do. And you have to really kind of believe that you can do something extraordinary.
Okay.
Whether it be an engineer, an attorney, a nurse, whatever it is you choose to do, you have to really think at that tender young age, which is, you know, you're in that transitional period of being a college student.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe that you can be a rock star in that given field, that you can do something extraordinary.
So you didn't mean a literal rock star. You just happened to become a rock star because that was your thing. But no matter what somebody wants to do, just be the best you have and you can be and have the best attitude.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, and I've played for hundreds of thousands of people
in
my life at certain shows in South America or at the Reading Festival in Britain. And I'll tell you, just being the focus being the target of all those people's eyes while you're talking. It was incredibly intimidating, even to a man like me.
No kidding.
Yes, and speaking of making something into a target, Lisa May, I'd like to make your face into a target.
Okay, gee, look.
Gene, for God's sakes.
Well, we don't need to do that. We
Kevin
don't need
saw
to
that coming.
Take it easy.
By the way, you know, just on a side note, we're on the heels of something historical. Isn't it not amazing what they've done down in Chile with the drilling?
It is.
Omar, stop laughing. Before I even get to
Wait,
joke.
Who's there?
Oh, that's my assistant, Omar. Speaking of drilling, yeah.
Okay.
You know, but it's funny you bring me on the show to talk about these things, and we're friends, but I have to say it was kind of moving for me to be a speaker at that college, and I'm going to go on and do it, go on the road and speak at a couple of different colleges.
Is that right?
You really liked it.
It was not only therapeutic, but it was motivational for the students and myself. It got me back on track. It really kind of re-energized me as Gene Simmons.
Thank God, because you have been a slacker.
That's right. I'm opening up my own Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu school here in Southern California, by the way. I'd like to get that plug in, the Gene Simmons Jiu-Jitsu school. And
You know about that?
Well, I'm an expert in Krav Maga. I have my studies in Israel. But also, I've always been fascinated with mixed martial arts and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm an expert in the rear naked choke, Lisa May. Speaking of getting naked and choking.
I think the only reason Gene Simmons is going to colleges is so that he can meet co-eds. You want to meet 21-year-old girls. That's what this is about.
You know what? Let me give you a little sample of what I do when I speak to the kids, and you tell me what you think.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gene Simmons of KISS. Now, if I could give you any advice, work hard first on distilling your goals down to something simple. Pick a major. Make sure it's something that you can really get behind. Lisa May, speaking of really, something I really get behind.
And once you've
made a decision, you have to work hard. Your social life has to come second. Don't be afraid to really seal yourself off into the library. Lisa May, I've got something you can make a seal around.
No.
All right.
Really?
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we got it.
Don't be afraid to bury your face in those books.
All right.
Okay. Lisa May.
All right.
When it's time for your midterm exams,
right,
it's going to be those of you who are really willing to cram for them that will get the best marks.
Right.
Lisa May, I'm more than willing to cram.
All right. Good.
Do not allow your vision to get blurred by temptation. Lisa May, I'll blur your vision with something.
Okay. All right. Wow.
There will be ups. There will be downs.
Yeah. Sure.
You must rejoice in success, but also be able to take it on the chin during failure.
Okay, we gotta go.
Lisa May. In closing, I'm aware at this point that your diploma might be hard to wrap your head around. Lisa May, speaking of wrapping your head around something, soon you will be donning your own KISS makeup of your own kind. Lisa May, speaking of decorating
all
a face.
Right. Okay.
Ladies and
Thank
gentlemen,
you, Jen. We gotta
what do you think? I'm about to take this on the way.
Gene.
I'm about to take this up to Oregon State University, you know, to talk to the Beavers.
Okay, Gene, we gotta go. Thank you, though. We appreciate your...
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. Friday means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Let's say for whatever reason, maybe you're not interested in seeing Jackass 3D.
Then what? F you. This has been the Movie Beat.
Can't imagine.
Maybe you have time for two movies this
weekend. Maybe you do. Maybe you're looking for something else besides that coming out this weekend. And there are a few choices. And by few, I mean two. One of those is called Conviction. This is based on a true story. A guy was arrested for murder and sentenced to life in 1983. So his sister believes so much in his innocence that she dedicates her life to overturning his murder conviction. This is what she goes through. Puts herself through high school, college, and then goes to law school.
Wow.
In order to become a lawyer to represent and exonerate her brother.
That is a long-term plan.
18 years.
Can you imagine?
She spent working on his exoneration. And she goes back through all the old evidence. Finally, she puts together a team that uses DNA evidence in the hope of getting him off. And apparently this is a true story and a compelling one, to say the least. Great cast, too. Hilary Swank.
Hey.
Plays the sister in the film. Sam Rockwell plays her brother, who is wrongfully accused of murder. And actress Melissa Leo is also in this film, who happens also to be in Red State. Just finished working with her last night.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So so good times. Conviction is the name of the film. You want to check that out this weekend?
I don't want to give anything away, but he dies just before she gets him.
Oh, come on!
Kevin!
They put him to death, and then she goes, hey, what about the DNA? And they go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
No, I haven't seen it. I'm just kidding.
They say. Red opens this weekend as well, based on the popular graphic novel. This is about four former CIA agents. They used to be the top agents at the CIA. Black ops.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they know too many secrets. Now they know too much.
Uh-oh.
They've retired from the agency, but they have all these CIA secrets in their heads, and the CIA just can't let them run
what
around
all
willy-nilly.
What happens to those people?
A little wet work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They take them out, but to take these guys out takes a lot, because what they do is they turn the tables, and now they're going after the CIA to see who wants to kill them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Quite the cast. Bruce Willis. Him in an action film, can you imagine?
No.
Hmm. Helen Mirren. Now, that's an odd choice for an action film.
That's strange.
But it looks great with her, right?
It does look great, yeah. Morgan Freeman.
Love.
And John Malkovich play the four CIA agents who are turning the tide.
That's good.
Aren't there hot chicks in it, too?
I
don't remember.
Maybe there are young ones that are trying to kill them or something.
Could be.
Yeah. Anyway, this looks very entertaining, funny, action-packed, and graphically violent, which I love. So you want to check out Red this weekend. Oh, we haven't played any clips, have we?
No.
No, we have not yet.
Do
you want us to fast forward to some of the other ones? Or?
Yeah, why don't we go to the second clip, since we've already talked about Conviction. Let's just jump to Red. This is some edited clips from the trailer.
Why would I be trying to kill you? Because the last time we met, I tried to kill you.
That was a long time ago.
Some people hold on to things like that. They used to be the CIA's top agents.
I kill people, dear.
But the secrets they know...
This is off the books, total blackout.
...just made them the agency's top targets.
Tell me everything you know.
Some thumbsucker tagged them Red.
Red?
Retired, extremely dangerous.
We're going to break into the CIA and find out who's trying to kill us.
Red! Retired, extremely dangerous.
Oh.
I like it.
Yeah.
I liked it when it was called Born Identity.
How dare you, sir?
But
nothing
I'm still
like that.
Looking forward to that this a lot.
Yes, from start to beginning.
You want me to try that again or just move on?
And Jackass 3D opens this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about.
We've been talking to many of the stars of the film all week long, and we're talking to the man himself, Johnny Knoxville, and Wee Man will be talking to us today. You know what to expect from Jackass 3D. I don't really need to explain to you what's in this film.
Not really anything at all.
Not really.
Yeah.
All you need to know is that there's a giant hand that high-fives people in the face. Is there anything better than that scene in the trailer?
I think I'd edit that back-to-back, and I would watch the whole thing.
That is just so funny to me every time I see it. Mike, you've seen the film already?
Yeah. Three times he's seen it.
Three times now?
Yeah. Well, it's right up his
two
alley.
And a half, to be honest. I had to leave the premiere early, but it's genius. Yeah, I mean, look. Like Ralph said, you know what you're getting into when you go to see a Jackass movie, but this movie is, I think, the best of them all.
And Dr. Drew almost threw up.
The best of
three
them all.
Three times! He's a doctor! He's cut open bodies!
I of course, want to see Jackass 3D. I don't know that I'm ready for the Pucano now that I've talked to Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I go to all the Jackass movies, but
the Pucano in 3D, I think, is what
that
really
scares me. Maybe that scares me.
More than you need.
You know, what is the most cool part about it is this Phantom 3D that they do, where it's... It's the first time they've ever made a handheld Phantom 3D camera over 1,000 frames per second. So it's super duper slow-mo. So watching guys take the dildo bazooka to the face at 1,000 frames per second, or, you know, paintball guns to a naked chest in super slow-mo, it's unbelievable. I mean, seeing the body contort in that way is really crazy.
There you go.
It's going to be amazing.
Here's a little clip from Jackass 3D where Bam is, you know, getting smacked in the face. That's what
this is all flour for our friend Bam. We're going to antique him when he gets here.
Sup? Not much. How you been? High five!
No one finds Jackass more entertaining than the guys of Jackass.
I agree. And normally, that's a super turnoff. Yeah. You know, if the comedian is laughing too much at his jokes, it's bad. But this just...
But they're genuinely laughing, you know?
And it's kind of contagious.
Yeah.
So, Jackass 3D, available in theaters everywhere this weekend. Those are your picks. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
One of my favorite guests, I think I speak for Kevin here too, Mike Rowe is coming in about 20 minutes here on the Kevin Avine Show. He, of course, is the host of Dirty Jobs. Actually, we should call him Mike Rowe because he does make us sound like little girls when he comes here. But yeah. What an awesome dude. So that's on the way. Petros Papadakis on the way, talking about sports for this weekend. And Johnny Knoxville, who's bringing in Wee Man in a backpack, talking all things Jackass 3D straight ahead here on the Kevin Avine Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for Adam Carolla This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Yeah, get it on, fellas.
Mr. Carolla, how are you? Ace man, how you doing?
Oh, dandy. Been up for hours. Just got back from the Y, swam a few laps.
So you just got up?
Didn't know you guys were on this late. I thought you Adam, were 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. shift.
Adam has the craziest schedule now that he has taken his very successful AdamCarolla.com podcast on the road. Every weekend, it seems like you're off in another city, right, Ace?
That's what it's like when you don't have a job, Bean. You have to go places and pretend you want to be there.
When you do all this travel, like I imagine you find lots of things that that infuriate you, though. That's the beautiful thing. There's no shortage of material when you have to travel for a living.
Well, yeah, except for the problem is it all ends up, like you go to Seattle, you see the flags they used across the street, and you see no graffiti, and you just get mad about L.A. You don't really see things in Atlanta you hate. You see things in Atlanta that remind you of things you hate at the place you live.
No, I got you.
That's the problem. All right. So we start
What's
at
on
three
your mind?
And work our way down.
That's correct. Number three.
Number three. Old people eating alone. I don't like it. It bums me out.
Don't you think it bums them out?
Well, you see young people eat alone, and you think, all right, that person's single, or they lost their job. You see an old person eating alone. It's like their partner's dead, and they're going to be... Well, that's what you go down to the farmer's market. You see, you know, Gladys. She's 83, and she's sitting there alone. It's 11 in the morning, and you're like, you know her husband of 51 years is gone.
Yeah,
and she's miserable.
Everybody else in her family's gone somehow.
Everyone's gone. Yeah. It's all gone.
So do you sit down with that person and eat?
No, they scare me. That's the thing. They freak me out. I'm trying to enjoy a meal, and they freak me out. And you know, it's not like you, if you went up to them and said, where's your husband? They'd go, oh, he's wakeboarding in Havasu. He's wakeboarding in hell. He's gone. And I'm just saying, look, I'm not saying that these people shouldn't eat. They deserve to eat.
Okay. Oh, that's nice of you.
I'm just saying that I'm magnanimous. I'm fine. I'm just saying the restaurant should have a new policy where anyone over 65 who comes in alone gets seated with someone else who's 65 or above.
Kind of a partner program. I like it.
Irma Meet Agnes, nice. It's called. Besides, they'd like it anyway, right?
Well, at the very least, they should have a room in the back that just seals them off from the rest of humanity.
Why can't they eat in the kitchen with the Mexicans? They're ruining my dining experience.
All right,
let's get on that one. Number two, had this happen to me yesterday. The aforementioned graffiti problem is obviously out of control, but the part that I forgot in L.A. is you get it coming and going. Not only do you see the graffiti all over the place, not only do you have to take a look at the freeway signs that are covered in barbed wire, but then when you go to the Home Depot in Glendale, you have to stand there outside of a shark cage staring at the spray paint can you wanted to buy until some flunky who makes $6 an hour comes by with a keychain and opens it up for you.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing in the world, and it's so sad because you're really getting it coming and going. You know, you've got all the graffiti, you've got all the barbed wire, and you can't get in and out of a Home Depot. And by the way, good luck finding the guy with the key to the cage where they keep the Krylon. It's literally impossible. And the other thing that was funny, too, is when the guy eventually got the key, it was on a yardstick. And that's how you know you're in a dumb place. The bigger the keychain, the dumber the place of employment. Remember when you were at school and they'd put the key to the bathroom on a, you know, 55-gallon drum?
Right.
You have to roll it down the hall? What is that part? I understand the concept of a keychain, but putting on something I have to push with a truck to get to where to the door it belongs to, this is literally on a 3-foot yardstick this thing was attached to, and that means your boss thinks you're a dummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they give you a key, they trust you. If they have it on something the size of your fist, you're fine. But if it's the size of a Barca lounger, your boss thinks you're retarded.
You're an idiot. All right.
All right. And number one, M&M's.
M&M's. Everybody loves M&M's.
I'm tired of all the innovation. And by the way, hey, M&M, when you asswipes come up with a new color, that's not an innovation. It tastes the same. If I can close my eyes and I can't tell the difference between the new color and the old color,
right.
Stuff it. Keep it at... I'll save you the money on R&D. You don't need to come out with that one. When we were kids, would you ever pour them in your hands and stare at it and just go, you know, I feel like there should be a magenta in here.
No, never did that.
I really feel like I'm missing something.
Yeah.
There should be some plum crazy purple or something in here. Where's the colors? No. As a matter of fact, they could all just be one color. Or no color. It didn't matter. I liked M&M's.
Yeah.
And now they're shoving pretzels into them.
Yeah, now they're pretzel M&M's, yeah.
Yeah, and they do this thing, too, where it's like, well, melts in your mouth, not in your hand. Like, it doesn't mean it's awesome. You don't get that chocolate all over your hand. No, you know what you get? You get a gay flag in your hand when you open it up. What do you mean? You used to just be one color, which was milk chocolate. Yes, chocolate melts in your hand, but all that stupid color melts in your hand.
Yeah, they didn't mention that.
It's ridiculous. I'm just saying, where's the outcry? Whoever said we need a new color, and that's not a commercial, you make a fine product, we'll eat the product. The people that don't like the peanut ones are semi-retarded. I don't want to deal with those people.
True.
But it's a good product. Don't monkey, and we don't need more choice in color.
Don't monkey, I think, is what you
don't
take away.
Don't monkey, people.
That is great advice for all the fine line of Adam Carolla podcasts and his live schedule. Go to adamcarolla.com. Ace, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Amin Show.
Thanks, guys.
Smashing Pumpkins on the way on the Kevin Amin Show. Linkin Park and the new one from Mumford and Sons. And why not? It's the 15th of Rocktober.
One, two, one.
Well done. Time now for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
And give him a second. He's got to walk over from behind the kit, man.
He's all red.
And then our friend Mike Rowe will join us talking all things dirty jobs coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you out of breath? You out of practice?
No, man. I'm just hitting my groove. Just hitting my groove.
Hard to stop right there, isn't it?
It is. I could play it all day. That's what people want.
It sure is.
They don't want showbiz news. They want more Melfon.
By the way, Chip is a fantastic bass player.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He really is.
Really, she provides a terrific bottom to the Melfon.
Oh, giggity. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Christina Applegate says she has had a long road in show business, long road to the top. When she was 5 years old, she did her first commercial for canned ham.
Oh, nothing better than a canned ham.
And she was a little kid. She was 5 years old, and she had to take a bite out of a sandwich.
Right.
And they hired her for a smile.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. Kids, when they're five, tend to lose teeth.
Right.
So she had to get false teeth.
At 6 years old?
At 5 years
old.
5 years old.
Oh, my God.
To do the commercial. And she was trying to chew while keeping her false teeth in her head.
It's a lot of pressure for a five-year-old.
She got a lot going on. False teeth, false boobs. She got a lot going on now. I'm just saying. It's been a long road for her. But it's all good.
Well, for someone with no breasts, you've done very well for yourself.
Wow.
Parents Television Council is upset with Bean for that last drop.
Yeah.
No. They're upset with Taylor Momsen, star of Gossip Girl.
I like her.
Have you seen her on the cover of Revolver magazine?
Yes, I have. That's when I decided I liked her.
She's wearing very revealing lingerie, holding two guns in her hands.
Right.
The PTC says she's making guns and violence seem sexy. Yeah, you know why? Because guns and violence are sexy. That's why.
Not making it that way.
No,
she's just cashing in.
That's always been the case. She is contributing, they say, to the epidemic problem of hyper-sexualized media content.
How old is she, Ralph?
She's
17?
I thought she was like... okay.
17?
No. She's got to be older than that.
I thought she was a little bit older. Right?
She's less than 21. Saying... I know. She's under 21.
Okay, but...
It's 19-ish, maybe?
Revolver Mag is for heavy metal
sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah, right, like, stop it. It's not like she was on the cover of, like, a Disney mag or something.
They say her behavior is causing depression, eating disorders, and sexual risk-taking amongst teens.
Because she has a gun on the cover of a magazine?
that one cover has done a lot.
Man.
Wow.
It's causing a lot of trouble.
And their proof is...
Guessing.
Have you heard her band? I know they came by the radio station and played a few weeks ago. Have you heard Taylor Momsen in her band Pretty Reckless?
I have not.
You hear what it sounds like?
No.
I got a clip. I would not have expected that voice to come out of that pretty face.
Me
just keeps
either.
Getting better. Just keeps getting better. Ah, this is bad news. On so many levels, but two of LA's largest porn studios have stopped production.
Really?
If you guys heard or not, but a porn actor, has tested positive for HIV.
Ooh.
And he has worked with a number of people in the industry.
Don't they all use condoms now?
No, they don't.
They don't.
No. Some of the major studios, like Wicked and Vivid, I believe, do. Some of the bigger studios, but a lot of them are going without. And... it's, you know, these people sometimes do two or three films a week.
Wow.
Depending on how much they have to do in each role. So you can imagine how that the list of people who have come into contact with someone who has come into contact with could spiral out of control rather quickly.
Yeah.
So right now they are trying to put together a quarantine list of people who may have been in contact with him or someone he's been with in order to try to, obviously... bring this in and get everyone tested and make sure everyone's okay. But apparently this particular actor goes between the gay and straight porn worlds.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And
he knew it.
They test every 28 days. I mean, they really try to monitor themselves as best as possible in the adult film industry. But this happened in 2004, and it's happened again. They think there's at least 12 to 14 people that he may have been in contact with
since
being tested positive. So...
do they think he faked it somehow on the tests, or
it's
just showed up?
No, it's a funky thing because there is a window of infection where you can be infected, but there's a amount of time that passes before you test positive with the current testing that we have right now.
I see.
So you can't always be sure that even if you have a negative test result, that
you don't have it.
That you don't have it. That if the timing is wrong. That can work out that way. So, Dell Film Industry in a bit of a panic right now.
That isn't good for you.
It's not good for you. And it's a shame when something as fun as porn has to deal with something as ugly as the real world. I hate it when the real world encroaches on my fantasies.
Yeah. I should stop that.
And the good news for Paramore fans. They have been added to the next edition of VH1 Divas. I don't know if you're familiar with that series that VH1 does with all female artists, but it's very entertaining. The network announced yesterday that they're doing a show called VH1 Divas Salutes the Troops, where these ladies will be performing for the men and women in uniform at a Marine Corps air station in Miramar down in San Diego. So apparently Paramore will be playing, as will Nicki Minaj.
Sure.
Have you ever seen Nicki Minaj's butt, by the way?
Oh.
Yeah.
You think Mike Rowe's butt looks good in those Wrangler jeans? What do you see Nicki Minaj's butt? That's all I'm saying.
It's a good-looking butt.
Just saying, Mike's in the next room, and I checked out his butt, and looks good in those
rankings. I haven't seen it yet, but we'll check it when it comes in.
Kerry Hilson also in the lineup, Sugarland, and Katy Perry.
Will be performing. Bury the lead with that one, won't you?
Well, I wanted to save the best for last.
Wow.
Imagine you're a Marine stationed down there at Miramar, and Katy Perry comes out on stage.
Yeah.
With her California girls all hanging out. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Huh, fellas? You
very
with
so.
Me? You
yes.
with me, fellas?
Yes.
Anyone?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
This thing on? Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Penny Marshall of Laverne and Shirley fame also went on to be a very successful movie director. She is 68 years old today. Singer Tito Jackson.
Yeah.
He is 57 really? Years old. How does Tito warrant a yeah?
He doesn't. That's
not the response I was expecting.
He is 57 years old today. Vanessa Marcil, very beautiful and talented actress, is 42 years old today. Rapper Ginuwine is 35. And TV chef Emeril Lagasse. What's his catchphrase again, B?
Bam, 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 bam.
Wow, he's making quite a souffle there.
It's not ringing a bell. I don't think that's it. He is 51 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is crazy. Our friend Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs just walked in. He's been in the studio 30 seconds. I've already gone online and bought Lee jeans and a new Ford. It's magnetic. Like, how does he do it? I see him. I want to buy stuff. Mike, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Nice to be back, Kevin. So it's too early to be certain, but I feel very optimistic.
All right, good. I wouldn't if I were you, but okay. Good.
A new season of Dirty Jobs debuting next Tuesday on the Discovery Channel. We will get to that in a minute and find out what Mike is up to now, 200-plus jobs into doing the show. But I have to start first because I saw you as part of CNN's coverage for 24 full hours on getting the miners out of Chile the other day. I saw you on being interviewed about that.
Sure enough,
Probably in the course of doing the Dirty Jobs, I imagine you've spent some time underground. Tell me about the what kind of mines have you done?
Well, we've done copper, we've done gold, we've done coal, of course, both bituminous and anthracite. We've done bauxite, and we've done salt.
Wow, it's a lot of mining.
Yeah, a lot of mining, a lot of miners.
What's it like down there? Is it everyone expecting to die any second, or
you know, it's. It's similar in some ways to like a commercial fishing ship or working on an oil derrick, where the first half hour, for me anyway, you're hyper aware of just how insanely intense everything around you is. And then because you can't possibly function with that level of adrenaline and fear, you just stop caring. And then you hopefully can focus on the job. But no, look, Bean, it's absolutely positively overwhelming. For me, for any apprentice who goes down there, yeah, the first, I never got used to it. I got stuck once, actually.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. In Chile?
No.
Oh.
In Santiago in the airport.
I wasn't watching every single one of them that came up.
No, it wasn't a mine. It was a cave. And this is an insane job. These guys in Horse Cave, Kentucky, were mapping subterranean routes. You know, a lot of Kentucky's, you know, connected underground. It's huge cave systems. And we're on our bellies crawling through various tunnels, basically doing subterranean cartography. And I got caught in a little draw in the mud, face down, pinned about half a mile down with, you know, all this concrete on my back. I couldn't move. Couldn't go forward. Couldn't go backward. I was stuck for maybe 30 seconds, and it broke down like this. The first 10 seconds, I intellectually realized I was stuck and thought, well, this is unfortunate. In the next 10 seconds, I realized the enormity of where I was and started thinking about what life would be like if I couldn't get unstuck.
I could die.
And went very quickly into kind of a panic mode. And then in the final 10 seconds, I just went straight to insanity. And I slowly felt myself losing my mind, so claustrophobic, pinned down, utterly helpless. And then some big guys finally grabbed my ankles and somehow pulled me free. So, yeah, while this whole thing was happening in Chile, you know, like everybody else, I'm holding my breath. But I'm looking back on the mining adventures I've had and just thinking, you know, why wasn't that story headline news every single day? Because it really, you know, in human terms, it was like one of the stories of our time.
I'll tell you.
It absolutely was.
It's odd, too. The wall-to-wall coverage that you get is 99% of the time tragedy.
Of course.
A hurricane or a fire or some huge
earthquake. Yeah.
This was one of the few times where it was wall-to-wall coverage, and it ended up great.
Yeah.
Everybody was thrilled.
It's amazing. Look, nobody likes a lecture, and I'm not going to give one.
Then
but,
don't, man.
But ladies and gentlemen. No, but you know, it's like, you're exactly right. When things really crap the bed, it's headline news. But miners, it's the oldest industry in the world, in spite of the other one that we all think is the oldest profession.
And the other one's way better.
It is.
It's shorter term. But every single thing in the studio, every single thing we use is brought up from the ground.
Yeah.
You know, everything, from the microphones we're using, all of it.
What possesses somebody in the 21st century to go into mining? Who are these people who decide that's what they're going to do? Is it just people who have mining fathers and that's why they follow in their footsteps? Or
you know,
just have no other options or what?
It's obviously generational. I would never want to say they don't have other options because that's kind of my point. This is, I mean, if you're really going to make a list of heroic jobs, everybody's going to default to, you know, you got your firemen, you got your cops, you got your astronauts. But
and
miners,
you're downplaying
man,
them? You're downplaying all of those three? Is that what you're saying? They all suck?
I'm saying if you were to retroactively remove half a dozen professions from the entire workforce, you wouldn't want one of them to be miners. Because,
okay, I'm
with you. Look, 57% of all the electricity we use comes from coal. You know, right now, people are listening to the broadcast because somebody's burning coal, which is creating steam, which is turning a turbine, which is allowing the electric to come
and
on.
And people make that sound bad.
And nobody gives a crap.
You know what I mean?
So,
how do you think, and you may know more about this situation than I do. By the way, this is the voice of Mike Rowe on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk about the new season of Dirty Jobs in a moment here. How do you think those guys, by all accounts, were able to keep it together and be pleasant with each other underground for 69 days? With, imagine if you were down there with 32 other sweaty miners for that. I mean, how did they not go crazy and kill each other?
No idea. I honestly don't know. I mean, I would think part necessity and partly because they had a little more room than we think. You know, you know, 500-600 square feet and some side tunnels they could kind of go away from each other for a little bit. So it's not as though they were restrained. But I'll tell you what it made me think of. There's a Stephen King book out now called Under the Dome.
Yes, I've read that.
Yes.
Right? I mean, the first thing I thought of when this mining thing happened was, crap, man. This is giant translucent shield descends over a town in Maine.
Right? Yeah.
Nobody can get to the people, but we can see them, and we can slowly watch a few thousand people revert to the very worst of the species.
Well, that's what I was thinking, is who's going to lose hope first and start looking around for someone to eat? Literally.
What about the first 17 days? When nobody down there knows that
if they'll ever be found,
right? And nobody above thinks they're alive. Those are some long days.
Yeah. No kidding. Do you think there was gay sex?
What other kind could there have been?
That's a good question. Either that or none.
So
as long as no miners were involved. Thank you.
All right. Beer all week. All right. Let's take a break now so we have plenty of time to talk about Dirty Jobs. An all-new season starts Tuesday at 9 on the Discovery Channel. Mike Rowe is here. More in a moment after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, the day of Jackass 3D. Johnny Knoxville and Wee Man join us next hour. Right now, though, Mike Rowe is in the studio, the host of Dirty Jobs. That's one of many, many jobs that Mr. Rowe has. But Dirty Jobs debuts for a new season at 9 o'clock next Tuesday night on Discovery. You always think you're going to run out of jobs, Mike, but it never happens, right?
It's a dream I have.
Yeah. How many have you done? How many episodes?
Just shy of 300.
300?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
There must be some jobs they're out there, you know that they exist, but they don't make good television. They're just too boring, right?
Sure, but the truth is, you know, Dirty Jobs isn't really about dirt or jobs. You know, it's really like Jackass with a plot line. You know, in terms of we look for people.
Are you the Jackass?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm the apprentice. You know, okay. if there's a joke in Jobs, it's always on me.
Okay.
My job is to show up and try and do the work, whatever the work is. Last week it was about paradiculosis, head lice. I met the people who are treating the head lice epidemic in Northern California. And, you know, it's, you know, the day before that, I was welding stuff underwater. And the day before that, I was whatever. So I'm never really competent, but I'm always trying.
When do you potty train the kangaroo? I have a clip of that.
That's troubling, you know.
That's troubling.
The kangaroos are typically potty trained in the pouch. You know, they don't get out of the pouch for a long time. So there's a lot of pooing. There's a lot of peeing in the couch. And the mother, I understand, basically just licks it off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How is
Mom's
that?
Mom's got to do what they got to do.
Sure, yeah, but how is that how nature designed it? That seems flawed. That seems bad for the mom.
Well, you know, for as many times as you hear the word design, you'll also hear the word flaw. And sometimes when you group it up, you can see listen, I mean, if you just consider basic anatomy, you know, to have the,
right.
You know, somebody said the playground so close to the sewer once, you know, I mean, just placement.
You would think that one smart kangaroo would come along and go, hell no, I'm going to hold my little baby out for a second.
Yeah, probably be a wallaby to make that sort of distinction.
let's play this clip from Dirty Jobs from this new season starting on the Discovery Channel Tuesday. This is Mike with, I guess, some sort of a kangaroo wrangler. Listen
Could
up.
Be anything.
When they're in the pouch and the baby goes to the bathroom, where does it go?
Well, I would imagine there's a little outhouse in there, a little latrine or something.
The mom would like it if there was, but actually she has to lick it up. And some of the urine is absorbed into the pouch lining.
Yeah, that's not...
Yeah. You want to fire off a strongly worded memo to the kangaroo manufacturer.
Wrong with that?
How many different animal-related jobs have you done throughout the years, Mike?
That's a good question. All of them, in fact. we have an uneasy, we have a very uneasy relationship with the animal kingdom now since I believe I believe we violated just about every creature in the barnyard. So, yeah.
Do animals now cower when you come into their presence because the word got around?
My theory is there's an underground communication network.
All the cows are telling each other what happened to them.
Well, I think it's actually interspecial. I think the kangaroo will put a call out to the llama, who in turn will check in with some avian and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, yeah. He's here.
Have you been stung or beaten or clawed or anything good like that?
I have, yeah. I've got a little alligator bite, and I've got a shark bite. I've got several snake bites.
But see, some of those are, yeah, shark bite. Yeah, no, that's what it is.
Well, it was one tooth. I was wearing a shark suit, stainless steel thing, and one little tooth got through the steel mesh and just nicked the bone in my shin, and it hasn't healed properly.
In your shin?
Trouble. You know when you kick your, like, the edge of the coffee table in the middle of the night with
your
shin?
Yeah, it hurts like crazy.
It's like that, only with a shark tooth on it, and it lingers for years.
Wow. Troubling. Wow. I know that you're you also work with the Deadliest Catch guys.
I do.
You're involved in that show as well, and, of course, Shark Week, too. Have you spent much time being out there with those fishermen up there in Alaska?
Yeah. In fact, when we were trying to get Dirty Jobs on the air, you know, it was a complicated show, and there was a lot of talk about whether or not, you know, it was on brand and this or that. I mean, it takes place in a sewer, after all. So Discovery was trying to figure out whether or not they really wanted to turn that thing loose. In the meantime, they had this thing going on in Alaska, and they asked if I wanted to go up and host it. And it was crab fishing, and I said, yeah, that sounds great. Now, this is before the show had aired, and no one really knew what it was.
Right.
And so I spent 6 weeks up there.
Did you have any idea when you went how dangerous it was and all that?
I asked the network, and somebody said, well, it's the most dangerous job in the world. And I laughed and said, right, I've heard that 1,000 times.
Right.
This is a true story.
This is.
They gave me the actuarial printout on commercial fishing, and I read it from Anchorage to Dutch Harbor. It's a 3.5-hour flight. Three things jumped out. First was the injury rate, which, believe it or not, is 100%. If you work on a crab boat for the full season,
you will be injured.
You're going to get hurt.
Wow.
Catastrophic injury rate's 9%. Thumb pulled out, rib cracked, clavicle shattered, right? 9%.
That is so high.
Here's the scary one. The mortality rate is one a week.
One a week.
Now, this is in 2003.
But don't you then land and get on another plane and go back home?
Well, it's
honestly.
I mean, don't you run out of people after a while?
I looked at it, and I swear to God, Kevin, I just chuckled because there's no way this is true. It's statistically impossible.
It sounds impossible, but yeah.
6 weeks later, everybody I knew got hurt. 1 in 10 got seriously jacked up, and I went to 6 funerals. In
oh
6 weeks.
Wow.
It wasn't an actuarial report. It was a prophecy.
Wow.
And that's what that show's about, and it's the real deal.
But any other industry, if the auto industry lost, you know, that many people to death and injury, they'd close it down. The government would say you can't operate a business like that. It's too dangerous. They allow the fishing to go.
Well, this look, first of all, it's the lower 48, and it's a different world up there. And look, the whole notion of risk is really, really different, and is a very, very short story. But the first time I was on a boat, I was on a stack of pots about 30 feet high, blowing 40 or 50 degrees, cold, like raining sideways.
Right.
The conditions were beyond hazardous. And when you stand up on a stack of pots and look down at the deck of a crab boat, it looks like you're standing up and looking at the top of your shoe, except it's moving.
It's that small.
It's that small, and it's just untenable. I scramble off the pots. I'm scared to death. I go in the wheelhouse, and I say to the captain, who's hunched over the wheel, I said, Captain, seriously, we're going to work through this? And he just shrugs, and he's looking out the window. Green water's coming over the glass, right?
He was dead, wasn't he? The captain's dead.
He's frozen to the wheel. And I said, Cap, seriously, OSHA? And he looks at me, and he points out of the window, and he says, OSHA, ocean.
Oh, I'm like, man.
No, I get it, but really, when do you say stop? And he looks at me and he says, son, he's my age, he calls me son,
sure.
I love it. He says, son, I'm the captain of a crab boat. My job is not to get you home alive. My job is to get you home rich. You want to come home alive, that's on you. And
wow. So it pays really well.
It pays very well.
Because it's dangerous.
Exactly. And if you look at risk in the lower 48, you realize that we've done a lot of things to eliminate the risk. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of disconnected and confused about what that means between the insurance adjusters, between OSHA. So, but up there, you know, the real moral of that story is for the rest of the day, I walked around like this, grabbing, clutching everything. I was very mindful because I knew that it was basically on me. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very different way of living, thinking, and interacting with the environment you're in. And you're not going to find it down here.
I understand the people who decide to do that. Look, I live in Seattle, and there are signs up every year for people. Please, you know, come to Alaska. You make huge money for 3 months' work. And I understand the draw of that. But I don't understand the people who fall in love with it and would never do anything else, who go back year after year after year, despite seeing what you've seen, Mike.
Some of them say they hate it, but wouldn't have it any other way.
You know what? Do it. But it's honestly, weird. I know people in radio who say the same thing.
Well,
you know, it's inertia. Never underestimate the strength of doing the same thing.
You did it last year, so you want to do it again this year?
It really. Look, how can I explain 300 dirty jobs? I thought I'd do 15.
That's what you thought it was going
to
be?
And then I got to 50, and I thought, let's have a parade. We hit 100. I thought, let's have a wake. We got to 200. I thought, I'm dreaming. Yeah. Now I don't even know what I'm doing.
How many do you have on the list still in the future?
The list ran out. What I'm telling you is I ran out of ideas at the end of season one. The only reason the show's on the air is because the viewers keep writing in.
Okay. All right. So what's Tuesday night?
This Tuesday, I think it's that kangaroo thing.
Kangaroo.
I think it's an exotic. It's not a zoo. It's an exotic, off-the-books animal place somewhere in Texas.
Off the books.
Well,
that
I mean,
sounds bad. Well, that sounds Michael Vick-ish.
Look, when you see a tiger walking around
in Texas,
yeah,
what?
Actually, it's a tiger, some horrible cloning thing between a lion and a tiger.
I want to go to this place so badly.
It's like Dr. Doolittle. When the push me pull you walks past you, you start to think, you know what? We've turned the page here.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it's a wonderful show, so entertaining, and every week when I watch, I go, better him than me, because he's better than me. That's why. Yeah. Dirty Jobs is coming back for an all-new season on the Discovery Channel this Tuesday night at 9. Mike Rowe, you know you're welcome anytime you're in town, man. It's always great to catch up with you.
Hey, man, can I say Rocktober before I go?
Please. Sure, please. We'd love it.
Rocktober.
There you go.
Yeah. Right.
Wow. That's how it should be done. That's beautiful.
Yeah. We sound like school children. All right. Thanks for coming.
April Murray from Los Angeles just won the album from Linkin Park and is qualified for the grand prize drawing to go to Australia to see Linkin Park and Muse. Your chance to win coming up. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:40.
All right. It's time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. 3-2. 3-2-3.
What did you do?
520-AFRNO. You can call 24 hours a day on any topic.
No, sorry. You boy. You boy.
Yeah, I don't think you can pull that off.
I can't tell whether the kids enjoy Melfon or they suffer through it for 30 seconds to get to what they're really listening for. What's your read on how Melfon is going over this year?
Through.
Oh,
kidding?
Really? Yes. They hate it? Okay.
Come on now. Let's be realistic. This dude, remember the dude that got the tattoo of Psycho Mike?
Sure, of course.
Yes.
Robbie, yeah.
What a terrible decision that was, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, he called yesterday.
October 14th. You know what that day was? That day was the day I got Psycho Mike tattooed on my arm. 1 year anniversary, still love it.
You can tell just from, if you've never heard anything else about Robbie, you listen to that voicemail message, you can tell that boy got troubles.
Hey, Kevin, Reed. This is your good friend. Ozzy Osbourne, you've been playing a song on the radio lately calling it Chocaroon. Well, it's wrong. I actually made that song, and it's called Sharon. It was one day I was on a bender, and I called her up, and I said, Sharon.
I think he's onto something. That could be an Ozzy Osbourne song.
Penny for me. I want to throw you on the bed and tear your clothes off and no, 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 no.
That song is catching on, people.
I was listening this morning to the Chacarone song. Super catchy, super awesome, except I totally remember it when it used to be called Without Me by Eminem, because this looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, very good point. And by the way, we got an email from somebody who said that that song tormented them on their spring break 4 years ago, and they had just forgotten it.
Oh, perfect.
That song got in their head back then. They could think of nothing else. They finally forgot about that song, and now we're the asshats who brought it back in 2010.
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
We discovered it. We're late. All right.
Yes.
What do you do?
Please tell me Unsolicited Dong is playing Weenie Roast this year.
I'm going to go yes.
We can only hope.
Yes, they are.
So I listen to you guys on the way to work every day, and of course I go into work with Omar's stupid goddamn jingle, Gleek Cap song, or Gleek Rap, I should call it.
And of course, I'm seeing it, and I get to the point where I say, I want to take number two on it. And of course, right as I'm saying that to myself in my cubicle, my boss is behind me. And now, thanks to you, Omar, she thinks I have some weird poop fetish. So I want to say thanks for that, Omar. What did you do?
Awesome.
Come on now. You can't blame that on him.
By the way, why is it the only songs that get stuck in your head, the earworms, are the songs you hate? Why is it never a song you love that you can't stop thinking
about? That's a good question.
It's always that way.
Yeah.
It's always the worst songs that get stuck there.
Hey, this is Omar. I'm a talentless, spazzy piece of who likes to put down good shows like Glee on the air. Someone should go number two on me. Here's some cool nicknames that you can give me. Coke Nose, Dumb Disc Jock, Arab Dark Hair Douchebag Guy, DJ Pauly D, and Little Osama. Seriously, you, Omar.
Wow, Ryan Murphy, creator of Glee, calling the Afro line. That's weird. I didn't expect that.
323-520-AFR.
Mumford and Sons, before you call. That's called Little Lion Man here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk Jackass 3D coming up after the top of the hour here on the 15th of October. I hate to call out our guitar player, but Psycho Mike, what the hell were you playing? We're not going into the Eddie Vedder Indian music phase yet on Melphon. What the hell is going on down there?
I was getting a little experimental. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I'll say.
I don't know that we're at that point yet.
We're still in the even flow alive stage. We're not quite ready to get to know who you are, all right? All right. Ralph Garman is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat for a Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Great to have you back behind the drums, by the way, Ralph.
It's good to be behind the skins.
What's going on?
David Arquette, he realizes that he may have been too open about his problems in his marriage with Courtney Cox.
When he was on Howard Stern?
Yeah, apparently he went on Stern's satellite radio show and said that, you know, he's being honest when he said that he did have sex with another woman.
Okay.
He talked about his sex life with this Jasmine Waltz.
Oh, man.
This smoking hot Jasmine Waltz,
she's
by the way.
She's hot, by the way.
Unbelievable.
And he immediately tweeted after the interview that he's sorry. He apologized to his wife. He says he's sorry and humbled by the mistake that he made.
By saying it?
By talking about how he's banging this hot waitress.
But not by doing it. Just
not
by saying
doing
it.
Just by saying okay. it. Yeah, he should have spoken less, he thinks.
It is kind of, I mean, they were trying to do it discreetly and privately and in a classy way, and he did kind of rub her nose in a little bit publicly, which
yes.
is not cool.
Yes.
When you want to do it in a classy way, though, Howard Stern.
That's right. I mean, really, that's the classiest way to do it.
Really the only way to go.
And then they brought Jasmine Waltz in, and she deep-throated a kielbasa. Congratulations to Robert Redford.
Still alive?
He is still alive. Still one of the greats. Kevin, you may disagree, just because
the
biggest part of his body of work is probably behind him. But he is one of our screen legends, one of the great screen actors of all time. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, man responsible for the Sundance Film Festival, maybe single-handedly the most important thing ever to happen to independent filmmakers ever was the film festival that he put together there in Utah. He has received the French Legion of Honor Medal. French President Nicolas Sarkozy.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Can I hear your impression again, please, Bean?
No, you can't. Gave Robert Redford the medal this week, so congratulations. He noted his work with young filmmakers at the Sundance Institute, as also his work as an environmental activist, as the reason he has given him the award. And such other American members of that small group of Legion of Honor winners. Walt Disney was given the Legion of Honor award. Julia Child, of course. Her contributions to American-French relations regarding French cooking.
Sure.
General David Petraeus has received the Legion of Honor award. And, of course, Jerry Lewis.
Sure.
Of course.
Because of all his hard work that he did during the... before the Gulf War broke out. When
right.
Talked to the president.
Right. Has Jerry Lewis ever called the president?
Nope.
You know?
Nope.
He doesn't?
Okay. Has not.
I thought he might.
don't think you'd ever try, no.
Speaking of Robert Redford and one of the greatest films, in my opinion, of our lives, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, one of my favorite films of all time.
Absolutely. Classic.
We'd be happy to know, Bean, they're making a sequel.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though at the end of the film, it appears that Butch and Sundance get really pretty much perforated by the Bolivian army.
I know that they left it somewhat in dispute as to how it ended, but it seemed to me they couldn't have survived that hail of bullets from the Mexicans.
In this sequel, Butch survives.
Okay.
And decides he wants to go back home for one last trip back to America, and so he heads back across Bolivia on his own to make his way back to America. Sam Shepard apparently has been cast in the role of an older Butch Cassidy.
Okay.
Boy, does this sound like a wrong-headed idea.
Wow. Sure does. Level. Sure does.
So you got that to look forward to. And speaking of casting, Andrew Garfield hasn't even donned the Spider-Man costume yet, and he's already getting static. Apparently fans of Spider-Man are on the internet saying he's way too skinny to portray Spider-Man. Andrew battled back this week by saying, Spider-Man isn't built like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think I'll be fine.
Okay. Note to him, you can't make comic book fans happy.
No, you can't.
Don't try.
Just got to put your head down and keep on moving. And another sequel's in the works. This one for Top Gun. You ready?
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Starring who?
Well, they're going to get a young new crop of hot studs to play the new class of the Top Gun training facility. But apparently Tom Cruise will make a cameo as Maverick. He'll return to have to give a little pep talk to the boys before they get into their cockpits. And he's going to tell them, you can be my wingman anytime. Guys who are not
Ice
me.
Man.
Yeah, apparently he will return. Tony Scott, the director, will also return. And Jerry Bruckheimer, the original producer, will also return to the project as well, all according to Paramount Pictures.
Still think I'm gayer than the volleyball scene in Top Gun?
Yeah.
Iceman definitely not returning.
The Iceman's not returning. Can't get into a cockpit now. Iceman cannot fit into a cockpit. They'd have to strap him to the wing of an F-15 if they wanted to get him up in the air.
That's
great. That was good, Mike. Once a week, Mike comes up with a good one. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. Check me and Kevin Smith out this weekend. If you want to stop by the Smod Castle, we're doing our live podcast as we do every weekend. It's on Santa Monica Boulevard here in Hollywood. Tickets are available at smodcastle.com. We'd love to have you stop by. It's a very entertaining show, and I'm sure Chelsea Handler enjoys it, too.
Oh, I'm sure she loves it.
And if you don't go in person, go to iTunes.
That's
and
right.
You can
yeah.
download them for free and listen whenever you like. If you're in the mood for a little Ralph during the middle of the day, middle of the night, you got it right there on your computer.
If you're not an iTunes person, you can go to smodcast.com, and they stream them there, too, so you can listen online. But we're having a very good time doing this little
I check it out from time to time, Ralph. Very entertaining.
We have a good time. And you get to curse all you want.
Ralph drinks and curses.
I know.
Got that going.
It's like this job, but really good. Because I can do my two other favorite things.
That's a good point. We are kind of limiting you with the no drinking and the no cursing on the show.
Yes, you are.
Hey, there's never been a no drinking rule.
You're holding me back.
And it's not an inconvenient time for you also, by the way. The other thing the other show has, it's at night.
It's at night and the bars are open. Before I go to work.
It has all that.
It has all that and more.
And you have chicks in the audience that are hot that already like you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's a win.
Today's celebrity birthday is Penny Marshall. She's 68 years old today. Penny Marshall.
She's a beast.
She really is. I'm not a guy who picks on people because of the way they look.
But she doesn't even try.
She doesn't even try.
A beast.
She puts on the frumpy glasses. You got the straight sort of stringy hair, and she wears the baggy clothes and all. She just looks like a bag lady.
She really takes what she has and makes it look as bad as possible.
But she's got that sexy voice. That kind of makes up for it.
And she's very talented, too. Very talented.
Tito Jackson. What a fine name. He is 57 years old today. Vanessa Marsil. Celebrates her 42nd birthday. She was on that Las Vegas show, right? With Nikki Cox and Dash Duhamel, wasn't she?
I
didn't
see much of that show.
Yeah, she's good.
I believe so.
Genuine is 35 years old today, and Chef Emeril Lagasse celebrates his 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I'm running things,
you're
going to get the day off when a Jackass movie comes
That's
out.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's a holiday.
You shouldn't have to work. You shouldn't have to go to school. There's only one thing that everybody wants to be doing today, and that's going to your local theater to see the Jackass 3D movie. Jackassmovie.com is the website. Wee Man joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, what? Hey, what's up, everybody? Knox should be here soon.
Johnny Knoxville on the road. If you see him, go ahead and point the direction to the station. Let him know that he's welcome.
Yeah.
Look, this is why we always double book the Jackass stars. Earlier this week, we had Steve-O and Bam scheduled to come in. Steve-O made it, Bam didn't. I mean, we're kind of used to it with you guys.
It all depends on what the night entailed.
And like, last night, you had the premiere, right?
No, the premiere was the night before.
The night before.
If you wanted me here yesterday,
wouldn't
have made it.
Okay, all right.
Okay, what did you do last night, Weeman? And I asked this because I saw your tweet this morning that you only got 3 hours sleep, which doesn't seem ideal.
I have a buddy in town from Texas, and I'm just showing him everything I can, Hollywood and Jackass.
Nice.
And so a buddy of mine who owns a bar down the street from my house bought as many tickets as he could for a midnight showing, and we just went and hung out with the fans.
Oh, that's cool.
And saw the movie, and they were pumped. It was fun.
So midnight showing would be awesome.
Yeah, and it was good seeing, because those are the true fans. Yep. You know,
right.
They're
those
there.
Are the people that can't wait until today.
Yeah, no, yeah. They were there, and it was awesome.
Wait, man, I don't know if you heard about this, if this has gotten back to you or not, but we had Dr. Drew on yesterday, who, of course, is a big fan of yours, and he said a doctor who's been in surgery, who's done a lot of gross things, seen everything that can come out of a human body, he says that he almost vomited 3 times during Jackass 3D.
I bet, because... I'm not saying...
Were any of them with your stunts?
No. It's always stunty stuff with me or hurt in the balls.
You're a specialty man.
Yeah, I'm not a poop guy or a throw-up guy.
That's good.
Yeah, but my mom was even at the premiere, too, mm-hmm. and she said she could only watch half the movie.
Can
and
you
it wasn't
imagine
because of
being
that.
The mom of any one of the Jackass guys? Can you
just
know?
Imagine
that
life?
I don't know. You're
mom,
so proud and you're
premiere.
So not. And
yeah, congratulations. I am busy.
Well, this is what we were talking about when we reported on Knoxville getting married a few weeks ago. We were like, can you imagine marrying into that family or having a kid, whatever it was, his latest news was. Can you imagine having all the Jackass guys coming by all the time? That would be hell for a family.
If you marry one of you, you marry all of you.
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
It totally is. And you marry everything we're all about.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you could be... part of a gag or something just by association.
Yeah. What's your daily life like when you're not shooting? I mean, when you're shooting, it's got to be hyper.
Oh, yeah, and guards up the whole time, can't sleep, worried about.
Are there pranks in the off time, too, or do you just.
Well, when we're not filming?
Yeah.
Of course, we're dudes, you
See,
know?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, we want to mess with each other all the time.
What do you do with your time when you're not making a movie, though? I mean, personal appearances and stuff like that? Is that basically your job, Wee Man?
Once in a while I do that. Most of my downtime is pretty much at home, and I'm just still skateboarding as much as I can.
You are?
Like, I love it. It makes me who I am. Like, if I don't skateboard for, like, 2 or 3 days, I get all edgy.
Get cranky and all.
I get cranky, edgy, and people are like, man, go do something.
Is that your form of exercise? Is that just what it does for you? Stress relief or whatever?
Stress relief, totally.
Yeah.
We asked Steve-O this. I'm going to ask you the same thing, and that is, did you film anything for the movie that you're really bummed out didn't make it in?
That might make it in 3D.5.
Yeah, and I'm bummed out on myself. It has to do with myself. There's a part where Dunn does the Snake River Redemption jump.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, he's doing a lake jump. I'll bring my BMX down and I'll do it. And I did it first a couple times. And the first 3 times, I slammed. And one of the slams is in the movie, too. Like, I go head over heels. My bike scorpions over me.
Oh.
And so finally, when I did do the jump, I went and I landed about 3/4 of the way in the water. I thought it was good. But the camera guys thought I was going to keep slamming, and they didn't even think my jump was going to be that big. And we were rushed, and we're kind of union with these film guys,
mm-hmm.
so we had to call lunch right after that. And after that, I was like, I don't want to do it again. And even Knox and Tremaine wanted me to do it again.
Right.
And I kind of backed out. I'm like, no, this is, you know, I was more thinking, this is Dunn's day. I just kind of brought my stuff here extra. And now I wish I would have just went all balls out.
Done it again.
Yeah, done it again. So I'm kind of bummed at myself. It all had to do with me.
Yeah.
Do you get hurt when you fell, when you crashed?
I beefed myself up. You'll see in the movie, like, Andy Bell's rope pulling me into the jump. And I get all, like, squiggly, and I get off the jump.
You're squiggly before you hit the jump?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I get all squiggly. I don't even hit the jump. I go off to the side, almost run into Andy Bell on his motorcycle. Knox, Chris, and Steve-O are standing off to the side. They think I'm going to hit him, and I just, like, poof, and I case over my handlebars. Bike comes flipping over from behind me.
Ouch. Yeah. I just get the impression when you guys are standing around trying to make each other laugh and trying to impress each other that you almost start to feel invincible, that you don't actually ever spend the time necessary to think how much something's going to hurt if it goes wrong.
We do, and it sucks. Like, if we plan something 2 days ahead, those 2 days until...
You dread it.
Oh, it sucks. You don't want to do nothing. You're just thinking about it the whole time. And then we've also talked about it, too. Like, people always ask, do you ever want to back out of a stunt?
Of
course. Yeah. And we're like, well, we do, but in this group, you can't. Yeah.
They won't let you
back out. Yeah, they won't let us. And Dave England said it best. He said, it's like pulling your car into a parking lot, and you want to exit, and the sign says, once you exit, do not back up. Severe tire damage.
Right.
And that's like us. Once you get yourself into a stunt,
wow,
you're not going to back up because we'll just annihilate
you. Have you ever tried to back up and back out?
Oh, yeah. No.
They wouldn't let you?
Yeah. And we've learned, like, by the third movie now, we used to try and back out of a stunt. We'd be arguing with Tremaine and then Knox, and they would make you feel bad. And then you're like, oh, man, I did sign up. So now we just skip right to it and go, all right, let's just do the stunt.
I gotta do it. Let's do it.
We're here. Let's do it.
Wow. Are there any other film franchises that you guys can think of that are basically a reality movie? Is there anybody doing what these guys are doing?
I don't.
Without scripts, without actors that are just going out and filming real life stuff and turning it into a movie. I think you guys are alone in that.
And real 3D. This isn't like...
With 3D cameras.
Yeah, with 3D cameras. Yeah. This ain't even CGI'd or green screen or whatever.
A lot of people may not realize that, is they can take a 2D movie, a movie that's shot normally, and they can 3D it up.
No,
but it's not nearly as good as if it's shot in 3D.
Yeah, no, we had the 3D cameras on set all the time.
Oh, the first time I saw the trailer, I was so happy. I heard the big voice guy, and I was like, they came up with 3D cameras, but I doubt, and I didn't know what it's for yet.
Yeah,
but I doubt this is what they had in mind.
You hear the music and you go, yes!
I was telling the guys, having seen the movie, I think the Phantom 3D is the coolest part. That super slow mo, that 1,000 frames per second is unbelievable.
Yeah, and we had that specifically made. You know, the Phantom camera's been out for a little while, but we had it made for 3D, and it does. It shows, like, right when you get, like, the Rockied. Right when somebody gets punched in the face, you could see their nose just go 2 inches out, touch like their cheek, and then come back.
It's really bizarre.
It's awesome. Like, people last night were stoked. When I was at the midnight showing, the fans were just pumped at everything.
Is that the first time you saw it with a regular audience, not an invited audience? Oh,
that's
cool.
First time. Yep.
Wow. Well, I can't wait. I want to go right now. Can we call it stop today's show?
Let's just go. Jackass Friday.
Johnny Knoxville says he's on the way.
He does.
All right.
He's even texted me and called.
All right. So your guess is as good as ours, but we're going to keep Wee Man either way because we love it, and we can't wait for Jackass 3D. It opens today.
It is getting all jackassy in here now, ladies and gentlemen. Wee Man sitting in on the Kevin and Bean Show, and look who just joined him. His good friend Johnny Knoxville is here as well.
Hello. Yeah.
What's up, Knoxville? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great. I'm just hearing about Wee Man's signature new moves in bed, but I don't know if we can talk about those on the air.
I don't think we can, but congratulations on both of them.
Thank you, Kevin.
Strong.
Very impressive.
Now, those are big draws. A lot of reasons for a lady to choose the little man.
Yes.
Which I hadn't really thought about before. Well, that's very impressive.
The only thing little is my arms and my legs.
Yeah!
And Dr. Drew can back me on that.
And he's a doctor.
He knows.
Okay.
Might have seen also.
Because he's your doctor, or? Because
he's my bro.
Look, who hasn't seen Wee Man's Judge at this point?
That's true. That's a good point.
Oh, my God.
All right, let me ask you guys this question. Does it ever get old? Like, for example, the movie that's been number one for the last 2 weeks. Aaron Sorkin writes, it's about, you know, Facebook. It's about a technology that changed the world forever. You're going to blow it out of the water with your movie today. Does that ever get old? Like, what are we... We're just out there effing around with each other.
still. Like, we started out doing the movie just to make ourselves, I mean, the show just to make ourselves laugh. And that's what we're still doing, man. And
it's so well received as well. I mean, there's a lot of people trying to make each other laugh, but.
I want to do Jackass. Until Irving doesn't even have to put makeup on anymore.
Yeah. Irving just shows up.
Irving will just be that.
Well, in the first movie, it took like 3 hours to do the old man makeup. This time it was like 30 minutes. So we're getting closer.
I had a question about that. You know, they're still showing the Jackass TV show kind of like in perpetuity on MTV. So some of these go back 10, 11 years.
Right.
Do the 18, 17-year-old, 16-year-old fans of Jackass ever come up to you and say, hey, Knoxville, you're not... not looking so good lately.
Yeah, they do. And I made that point in I think the making of. It's like, you know, they've played those shows for 10 years, and people still think I look like that, but right. I don't. But that's all right. That's just my vanity stepping in.
By the way, Psycho Mike, tell Johnny, if you haven't already, about when you were watching the movie, how distracting it was, the chick that Irving makes out
with. Oh, my goodness.
Psycho Mike is in love with
her. I almost got taken out of the movie by the actress...
Angie Sims.
Then that's maybe the hottest chick I've ever seen in my life.
Her butt was in 3D.
All right.
I mean, did you see her bottom? Oh. It was like it was hanging out of the screen into the audience.
That's the best use for 3D ever.
Yes. She was a very lovely young lady.
And for folks who haven't seen the skit, the bit is that Johnny's playing this old man character who's making out with this unbelievably hot chick in her 20s or something like that, and you can imagine what the looks are like from everybody around him. I mean, it's
sure.
Just,
is your junk hanging out like another...
is my junk hanging out?
In other scenes with the old dude?
Well, my not in the old man scene, but my bottom meat, you do get to see for a prolonged period of time.
Your bottom meat.
Yeah.
And you're pretty stoked about it, too. You're
yeah, I've been exercising, wee man.
And this may be the gayest question ever, but I have to say, did you really train for this movie? Because you look really good going into Jackass 3D.
I did get ready for this movie like I hadn't got in the past just because I knew I was going to just, rip myself up. Yeah. So
ripping the Karen, right.
I didn't. You didn't. I didn't let myself go. Yeah.
You look great, though, man.
Let me ask you this. I imagine when you guys finish filming a movie that you don't want to have anything to do with it for a while. You're like, thank God that's done. Please don't make me do another one. But then I imagine like a month later, you start thinking of new ideas that you can't wait to try. And then you realize it's back on again, right?
We shot so much footage. We shot two films worth of footage for this one. And
is there going to be a 0.5?
Yeah, 3.5 comes out in January. Excellent. And a lot of great stuff got kicked out of the movie. And we wrote so many bits for this movie. We have a stack this high of, which I'm doing about, that's about 12 inches.
Yeah. Sure.
I don't think that's 12 inches.
Lisa
sized it up as about 6.
Don't tell my wife. But we had so many ideas we didn't even get to. So there's never a shortage of ideas. And they actually had to have an intervention with me to stop filming.
Because you had so
office.
Much.
Yeah. They called me the office and they're like, hey, we're going to finalize the bits in the movie and we're going to pick the final lineup. I'm like, cool. And I walk in the office and it's the executive producer, Spike, and Jeff and everyone. They're like, we're actually not going to watch footage today. We just brought you in here. We have to stop filming. The editor.
It was a literal intervention.
There were three cries in the movie, and that's the only time I cried was when they told me I had to stop filming.
Who gets the Pucano in the movie?
Well, Dave England's our professional pooper, and no one else is allowed to do anything with poop. Or to make poop, I should say. They can work with the medium.
Sure.
But no one else can make poop besides Dave England because he's very protective over that's his thing.
I understand. Okay,
so he's got that role, and if I wanted that role, there's no room for me now.
No.
All right.
Just like good Chris has the wiener ones.
Good to know.
Well, because he's built for speed.
Well, yeah.
All right, Johnny Knoxville. They don't call on me for that.
Johnny Knoxville is here. Wee Man is here. We're going to take your calls next if you'd like to talk to the guys. 1-800-520-1067, and we will continue. Jackass 3D is in theaters today. You're no friend of ours if you don't go see it.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Johnny Knoxville and Wee Man are here. It's a big, should be a holiday. That's what we determined. Jackass 3D is in theaters today. Johnny, why do you still wear a tie? You don't have to. You got the kind of job tie where you don't have to wear a tie, dude.
I just wanted to look handsome for the young lady in the.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're very handsome. Appreciate that.
That's right. So just appeal to my vanity, and this it'll go great.
Gotcha. I wish all the callers knew how hot Lisa Mae was. Now I know. Like, I used to wonder, like, why do they ding when people say
Isn't
Lisa
Mae? Nice?
And now I know.
Thanks, sweetheart. That's right. It's very nice.
I smell a stand-up sushi bar coming.
I do, too. I do, too. I was thinking the same thing. Sounds like that's happening.
And, no more on that.
And
right.
I am not even bummed out. I'm excited.
All right, let's try to squeeze in some calls in our remaining moments with the Jackass guys. 1-800-520-1067.
Lisa Mae is blessing.
We wish like anything we could tell you what that meant, but we can't.
Yeah. Right. Let's try Eric on line 8. Eric. Yeah, Eric. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You're on with Knoxville the Wee Man. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Johnny, Wee Man, how you doing?
Good, man. Great.
Actually, when I was on hold, I came up with a question for Johnny, too. But first, Wee Man, do you have any plans to go on Dancing with the Stars?
No, not
was
at all.
Was that a rumor?
What?
Was it a rumor or something?
No. Johnny and I got asked the first night we went and saw Steve-O, and we said, no, this is Steve-O's thing. You know, yeah. It's kind of, it gets him out there now to, you know, promote his sobriety and stuff. So, no, even if I was asked 10 times.
Plus, you're too good. You know, right? To be thrown off.
Steve-O is by far the best dancer of the group.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
And it's his thing.
All right, I'm sorry. Eric, and then you had a question for Johnny?
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, this might be a little left up, but... Dude, do you got any stunts planned for motorcycles?
Oh, no. I've yeah, the last one didn't go so good. I'm still cathetering twice a day, and that was 3.5 years ago from breaking my penis on my last motorcycle ride.
Yeah, that was great. I got to tell you, it's so fun to see you guys get hurt.
I'm sorry, but well, thank you.
It really is something. We watch that over and over. We go, oh, my God.
I'm glad it's him. Didn't we talk to Johnny the day that happened? He was on a stretcher or something like that when we had him on the phone.
I think we talked to you.
Right, probably right before surgery.
Yeah.
And you still have to do the catheter on that?
No, he's kidding.
No,
I hope you're kidding.
You're not kidding. I did it right before I came here.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
they don't want the scar tissue to constrict, and then if it constricts, then I have to have a whole nother surgery.
But it's been 3.5 years.
I know.
Is it for the rest of your life?
It was a really bad injury.
Is it for the rest of your life?
No, eventually I'll be able to stop. If it keeps open down there, I'll be able to stop. If not, I have to have surgery.
3.5 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it worth it, Johnny?
Yeah. Footage is forever.
Yeah. See, that's the difference between you and most people. Absolutely, right, it was worth it.
Let's try Steve on line 4, on with Knoxville and Wee Man talking Jackass 3D. Hi, Steve. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I got a question for you guys. I can imagine when you guys run into fans, everybody has a suggestion for stunts. What are the majority of stunts that you guys do which are fan suggested?
Have you used any of the fan suggested ones, sir?
In the first movie we did, a little person came up to me in a bar and said, "Look, I can kick myself in the head." And he kicked himself in the head. He goes, "Can I be in the movie?" I said, "Well, you got to go hit that guy over there in the nuts." And it was the director, and he smoked him. And then we end up letting Wee Man do it. So sorry, dude.
Thank you for the call. By the way, I don't want to give anything away. In fact, I'm sorry that it was spoiled for me. But the scene of Wee Man and the bar fight in the movie sounds like that is great. Stole the show. Hilarious.
Yeah, that one I'd like to keep under our hat just because it's such a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything about it.
I was in the theater last night and people were kind of trimming like, okay, Wee Man's on a date. Great. This is going to be boring.
Yeah.
And it escalates.
It keeps going.
All right, let's talk to Tyler real quick. Hi, Tyler. You're on with the guys.
Hey, hello. What's up?
Hi.
Hey, did anyone have to go to the hospital during, like, the making of the new movie?
Yes, we did.
Everyone?
Aaron did a couple times.
Yeah, Aaron
Steve-O
did.
Said he went twice.
Steve-O, I did. We usually spend a little bit of time in the hospital.
Just kind of book a room ahead of time just before you start filming?
Yeah, we have our own, the Jackass wing.
Speaking of which, now, Johnny, you've made it. Like, you're in movies, other movies and stuff, but you still
real movies?
You still put yourself, you know, out there with your roller skating with, what were your roller skating?
Roller skating with Buffalo.
Buffalo. Yeah, don't.
Nothing is as fun as making Jackass, and I love it. We all love it.
See, that's this is what's unique, though, is because most people, like, they would go, okay, I'm tired of getting hurt, so I'm going to
go off and
be
in a Kevin Spacey movie instead.
I don't look at it that way. I'm just like, I don't get tired of, like, having fun with my bros, you know, and making ourselves laugh and other people laugh.
I'm glad that you do.
It's just fun, man. I love it.
I'm not kidding. When you and I speak for the whole band, when you do some awesome and this guy smiles to get
this,
when Knoxville's laughing or smiling, that's when you know you did something awesome. And right there alone, we don't even have to put it out, but to get this guy to smile, it's heartfelt because you know it was amazing for him to laugh and smile.
You guys would have done this without the movie, wouldn't you have? Honestly.
Oh, heck yeah.
Throughout the
guys
course
are
of time.
Worse when the cameras are on.
I always hate it when a movie is in theaters today and people already start talking about the next one, but it sounds like there's no reason why there can't be another Jackass movie after this.
Well,
right?
We shot it enough for two, right?
Yeah. Well, we had 3.5 coming out in January. We shot enough for two movies, absolutely. But after the first and second, we said, we're done. That's it. And after this one, we're not going to make any predictions. But I will say the Three Stooges did it till they're about 60.
Good point.
There you go.
All right.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
So did the Rolling Stones.
Jackass 10.
We've been saying for months that this is the most anticipated movie of 2010 for our crew.
And
can't believe the day is finally here. JackassMovie.com is the website. Of course, Jackass World and the movie is in theaters everywhere today. We know you got to run to another thing, Knoxville. It's great to see you. Wee Man, thank you for coming by. You're always welcome, dude.
Thank you guys. Have a
great weekend. Congratulations on the movie.
Thank you guys for the support.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's the 15th of Rocktober.
Again, I'm going to say I don't think the tribble. I'm not sure the tribble.
Our
works.
Friend Petros Papadias joins us to talk all things sports coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, it's time for another look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph Garman. Hi, Ralph.
Did you watch Live 30 Rock last night?
No. I did. Yeah.
Awesome.
Taped it. So is it not live now? Because I taped it.
Right. Yeah. What's the fun of watching something live if you're going to tape it and then watch it after it's been taped?
Did you just have to ask that?
Yeah.
It's true. Okay, once you have taped something, it's no longer live.
It's not live.
You're absolutely right.
How many Saturday Night Live cast members talk about the perfect resume to do a live national television show? We're on that program last night, right? There have to have been 7 or 8 of them, right?
Yeah, I'm always saddened whenever I see Rachel Dratch getting work.
Yeah, I know. She's horrible.
She's horrible.
Yeah.
If she wasn't friends with Tina Fey, she'd never work again.
Who is she?
She was the hideously malformed little creature that used to be on Saturday Night Live and occasionally shows up on 30 Rock.
And when 30 Rock started, she was a recurring cast member, and they quickly cut her. Remember, she got booted after a couple of episodes. But now she's back from time to time.
They ash-canned her and hired Jane Krakowski.
Right.
Yeah. Who's talented and funny.
Right.
As opposed to Rachel Dratch.
I will tell you, it was a little bit of
malformed and gnome-like.
A little bit of excitement last night as Jenna on the show?
Yeah.
Was threatening a nip slip on live TV while we were watching live TV. I was thinking, hey, this could get really, really good.
I watched both. I watched the East Coast feed and then the West Coast feed. And the East Coast feed, smooth as glass. Except Baldwin dropped a basket he was holding. And he just sort of looked down at it and didn't even play off of it. But the second go-around, the second show they did, both Jane Krakowski and Tracy Morgan could barely get one of their lines out.
Really?
I thought the second one would be much easier for them, having had one under their belt, the nerves would kind of be out of the way.
That's
right,
funny.
But they had been drinking for 2.5 hours in between, though.
That's very possible. Tracy Morgan was like, I'm going to be laughing harder than .com's play.
I was like, what? I don't remember that line from the first one. So anyway, good stuff last night. If you checked it out, you know.
Harry Hamlin, speaking of television, was one of the biggest TV stars of the 80s. He was in a show called L.A. Law, Stephen Bochco had over there on NBC. And this is an interesting story. He was trying to visit Canada
And apparently he got stopped at the border because the Border Patrol there said he was considered by them to be a felon. Now, it turns out Harry did get arrested 40 years ago when he was attending UC Berkeley. And it's not so interesting that he was arrested, nor that there was some screw-up in the paperwork when he tried to visit another country. It was the charge that was brought against him. He was arrested for running an illegal brothel.
That's what I'm talking about.
It is so not what you would think.
How do you not put that on your resume?
How do you not just stay in that business if that's what you're doing? Why did you go into acting?
Because he got caught.
Yeah, I guess so. He wasn't a very good pimp, I guess, if he got busted. Eventually, he pled to a lesser charge here in the States, but the Border Patrol in Canada said they still consider him a felon, and now he has to take criminal rehabilitation classes before they'll allow him into the country.
Does he really want to go to the country that bad?
Well, Canada's kind of cool. They got nice stuff up there.
Sure.
Hockey and maple syrup. And
40 years
Tim
ago.
Tim Hortons donuts.
He's able to go strip clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, great strip clubs.
Strip clubs and weed, really.
And according to the people I worked with in a film up there, excellent hookers, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay. The word on the street.
All right.
Pirates of the Caribbean, currently filming the new Johnny Depp feature, the fourth in the Pirates series. Two very industrious groupies snuck onto the set.
Oh.
But they didn't stop there. They broke into the wardrobe department and stole some costumes, dressed up as wenches, and then set out to find Johnny Depp.
Love it.
I see.
I mean, as long as they weren't dangerous, love it.
Apparently, they tried to sneak into his trailer. Too bad Johnny's top-notch security team had figured them out and got rid of them before it was all over. That's got to be bad, right?
Got to give him credit for effort.
I know. Going to the trouble of dressing up. Prince is going out on tour, Kevin. Good news for you. You finally can see his purpleness.
He's great in concert.
I know, you love him.
He's shaky as hell.
How long did you wait for him that one time?
Well, it was at the, I forget, it was like an hour. And they didn't even open the door, the gates. You couldn't even go into the forum. And then they finally said, he's not feeling it tonight. See you later.
Yeah. They canceled the show.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I heard they lost him. Under the seats.
Is that right?
Yeah. Someone had misplaced them. They fell out of somebody's pocket, and then they, you know how it is sometimes. You get a roll of Lifesavers or something, and it'll roll under the couch, and you can't seem to
find
it.
And you give up on it, and then all of a sudden.
And then next time you're vacuuming, you find your Lifesavers. That's what happened with Prince.
They vacuumed him up.
He's not big.
He's not a tall guy.
He is starting the show at the Apollo Theater in New York City. It's called the Welcome to America Tour. If I'm not mistaken, he's been living in America for some time. It's going to kick off in December. Apparently, headlining with Prince will be his new band, the New Power Generation. And there will be different acts rotating in and out of the tour as well. Sheila E. will be there for some dates.
Bell.
Graham Central Station.
What?
Wow.
Featuring bassist and singer Larry Graham. Wasn't he with Sly and the Family Stones, wasn't
it? I think he was, yeah.
Mint Condition. Maceo Parker. Janelle Monáe and others will be joining Prince on tour, so you can check that out.
Mike's squawking in the back about a bell for Sheila E. I don't feel that at all. Do you, Ralph?
I haven't seen her recently. I don't know. I wouldn't tell. Back in the day, absolutely, she's wearing
a bell. Back in the day.
But yeah. I haven't seen her lately, so I don't know. Before I get to Soba's birthdays, let me give away some passes.
Right. Yeah.
We've got tickets for the advanced screening of Paranormal Activity 2. We dare you to sleep after seeing this film. That's what they say.
That's what they say in Jackass, too.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
We dare you to keep your lunch down while seeing this film. That's what they said for Jackass. It's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 22nd. But if you're one of the first five lucky callers, you will see an advanced screening. Get to see it for all your friends, do. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers will get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Paranormal Activity. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Penny Marshall, forever known as Laverne. Laverne and Shirley, before she went on to a big-time movie directing career. She is 68 years old today. No, she was married to Rob Reiner for many years, who played Meathead on All in the Family. Then he also became a big-time movie director with A Few Good Men and Stand By Me.
Who knew?
I did.
That's a good point.
Tito Jackson is 57 years old today. Actress Vanessa Marsil celebrates her 42nd birthday. For 42, by the way.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
Genuine is 35 years old today, and Chef Emeril Lagasse celebrates his 51st birthday.
Bam, 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 bam.
He's an enthusiastic chef, isn't he?
Bang, 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 bang. No, there's no bang. It's not bang, it's bam.
bam, 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 bang, 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 bang.
Overruled.
Are you two done playing cops and robbers?
Yes.
Like playing cowboys and Indians in the school lot.
Bang, bang, bam, bam, bang, 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 bang.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Last night was another new episode of Jersey Shore. LaQuisha reviews that for us coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's finally Friday. That means a lot of sports on tap this weekend. And our friend Petros Papadakis from the nationally syndicated PMS show joins us on the phone right now. Hey, P, how are you, man?
Hi, guys. I can't believe you're still talking to me since Bean fired me 2 weeks ago.
I didn't fire you. He just made up a rumor that you had been fired.
Yeah, thanks for starting that. I only had about 60 text messages. And the secretary at my job called me and asked me if everything was okay. Thank you, though.
So sorry to hear that, P.
I don't think you are.
No, I'm saying that's what they were saying, your friends.
Look, a guy like you
who is known for his television work covering sports, all of a sudden to lose his job, that's big news. I can understand
he
why people contact
you. Lose his job. what are you doing this weekend, P?
I am doing the Cal-USC game on FSN nationally.
There you go.
Wow. How about that?
Actually, to be honest, I'll be outside the booth with my headphones not even plugged in because I got fired, but I'm just going to act like I'm still doing it.
You're going to just try and get in the shot behind the actual guys?
Yeah.
I still think it's so weird, by the way, and I know this happens from time to time, but rarely as high profile as the sanctions against USC, but it doesn't matter how well they play this season, not that they look like they would make the playoffs anyway, they got no postseason. So everybody just leapfrogs ahead of them no matter where they are in the rankings, right?
Well, sort of. I mean, there is no playoff anyway, so right. I wouldn't worry about that. In college football, the regular season is the playoff, and every game is a big deal because of the BCS rankings and things of that nature. But yes, USC is playing under sanctions. They could still win the AP title, the Associated Press title, because they can be ranked in that poll, and that is a national title, and it's recognized as a national title, but they're nowhere near there. I told you guys they were nowhere near there at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
They're probably going to end up losing 4 or 5 games, and if they go 8-5 and 9-4, you know, that's a pretty good year for Lane Kiffin, considering all the change that they've had. But there's some weird stuff at SC, just with the way they're playing. It just doesn't look like SC football. Like, defensively, they're 116th against the pass and 100th in the country overall, giving up more plays of 15 yards or more than anybody. So that's just not SC football. USC football is usually really big, angry guys from Crenshaw that punch your Adam's apple off when you try to gain yardage against them. But this year, they're kind
of
soft.
116th? There's got to be teams I've never heard of ahead of them.
I would venture to guess
that's
that
crazy
there
bad.
Would be Kevin, there would probably be at least 50 teams.
All I know is they wish the games were 59 minutes and 45 seconds instead of 60 minutes, the way they've lost some of this season. All right, let's turn our attention away from that. Great article this week from the LA Times writer Bill Plaschke, who talked about how baseball in the postseason has done everything it can to lose whatever momentum it had after the very exciting playoff run. No games, for instance, during the week, it seems like. They cram them all into the weekend when we've already got college football and football to watch. It seems like the baseball playoffs are kind of getting lost in the shuffle this time around. Do you agree, P?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's hard for me to gauge it because they always get lost in the shuffle for me. I was just talking to producer Alex about it. This is a time of year for me that I'm basically concentrating on college football, and that's it. But you can't help but pay attention to some of these games and some of these matchups. I mean, to be honest, guys, we have one of the greatest pitching matchups in the last 3 decades going on Saturday between the Giants and the Phillies, Tim Lincecum and Roy Doc Halladay. And that is a big-time thing, but do you want to sit there for 3 hours and watch guys strike guys out?
Nope.
That's what it is.
I do, actually. I mean, it's just with a team like the Phillies, who's been the dominant baseball team along with the Yankees for the past 3 seasons, and they're both in the postseason, it just seems like there ought to be a little bit more excitement than there is. I just wondered what was up with that.
Well, there is excitement amongst the baseball weirdos and people that keep score while they're watching the game, and true Americans that put mustard on their hot dogs and not any ketchup. And if you listen to my radio partner, your old guy, Matt Money Smith,
sure. You
know, he wants R2-D2 behind the plate umpiring these games. He wants a full robot makeover
right.
of Major League Baseball, losing the human element.
But he's a communist.
He is a communist, and he wants social revolution all over the world like Che Guevara, so I wouldn't listen to the robot argument.
All right. I'm just scanning the NFL schedule for week six. I'm not seeing anything jump out at me as a particularly exciting. Well, maybe Dallas and Minnesota. That one's got some drama to it. What do you like this weekend? What games are you looking forward to, Pete?
I think the Dallas Minnesota game is probably the best looking game, even though both teams are 1-3. Brett Favre with the cell phone donging and the Johnny Schlonko over the airways.
Oh, that's the best.
It's too good. I mean, it really is too good. I know it's embarrassing, but the truth is you're 38. Now he's 40, but at the time he was 38. What are you cell donging for? You know, technology, you're a self-described redneck from the redneck Riviera. You're a hillbilly. I wouldn't try to keep ahead of technology by cell donging sideline reporters that aren't into your advances in the first place. So that's embarrassing, but he's still got some magic. You know, he screws up all the time, and they're probably not anywhere near as good as they were last year. But Minnesota's fun to watch because Favre is just such an idiot running around throwing the ball out there at 40, and he's magical. There's no question.
Yeah, and half the time it is magic, and you go, wow, that was unbelievable. Yeah.
Oh, he'll have a game where he does nothing. He's just farting on himself for three quarters, and then he starts dropping dimes like an informant. It's crazy.
Now, sometimes you can never tell on the NFL schedule. The game where it involves two teams you don't think you care about sometimes turns out to be the great game of the week. But here's one that has the potential to be awesome, and that's the Patriots and the Ravens. What do you make of that?
Well, I like the Patriots because Tom Brady looks a lot like he's just been made over completely. Like, he's Taylor Lautner. I mean, his face is all treated. His eyebrows are plucked. He had a wallet chain on last time I saw him. I mean, the only people that should be wearing a wallet chain are bikers. Other than that, you're a douchebag, right?
So you're going with the makeover of the week?
Yeah, he's so good looking now, but he's still a hell of a quarterback. Yeah. And the Ravens don't give up any points. And those Ray Lewis Old Spice commercials are pretty unreal.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to see the Patriots lose just because they're like first team all white guy. You know, they have every little tiny white guy on earth playing on their team. If you're 5'8 and you're a white guy, Bill Belichick will find you.
Yeah, that's true. He won't be happy with you, but he'll find you.
This is the voice of Petros Papadakis on the Kevin Beach Show talking about sports this weekend. All right, what's the latest? I have not been following it the last 2 days. Michael Vick is not playing for Philadelphia against his old team Atlanta this weekend?
I don't think so. His ribs are all messed up. He's all cartilagey and beat up. And I don't really know how great of a season he was going to have anyway. I mean, he did have a great, like an unbelievable 8 quarters. He was playing out of his mind. I mean, he was playing better than we've ever seen him play before. But the key in the NFL at that level is simply consistency. And I don't know if he was going to be consistent. And the other part about a guy like Michael Vick is, if you're in college and you run around as a quarterback, you probably aren't going to last the season. If you're in the NFL and you run around as a quarterback, you're probably going to die. You know, every game in and game out, you're probably not going to make it. So I didn't really have a lot of hope for, no offense to the great Ralph Garman, a wonderful Philadelphia Eagles fan, but I didn't have a lot of hope for the whole Mike Vick thing from the start. And I know the guy. I met him right coming out of college. He was a nice enough guy to know he was a dog fighter and a dog killer and all that, but he was a nice enough guy, and I like to see him succeed. I just never really had a lot of faith in the fact that he was going to be able to put together a whole season again in the NFL.
Yeah, it's very different than having a good couple games. That's true.
Yeah.
Petros Papadakis can be heard on the Fox Sports Radio Network across this great land of ours. If you're in Southern California, catch him with Matt Money Smith on 570 AM weekdays starting at 3. And P is going to be calling the USC Cal game on Saturday as well on the TV. So check that out as well. P, have a great weekend, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
It won't really be on the TV. I'm just going to rent a cardboard box and do it in your living room.
Good enough.
I don't know what kind of world we're living in where Mad Men ends this Sunday, but I never hear a goddamn word about Jersey Shore ever going off the air. They seem to have an unlimited amount of episodes of that show over at MTV, but LaQuisha watches it so we don't have to, and last night there was another new episode. Right, girlfriend?
Next week is the finale.
Oh, it's not so.
It is finally going away. Okay.
Next week, the last episode.
Bean, it sounds like you're hating, and I don't like that.
I am hating on Jersey Shore. Oh, yes,
what?
That is accurate.
Man.
I am.
How can you be hating on Jersey Shore?
What do you like about it, LaQuisha?
Everything.
Everything. It encompasses all the goodness in the world.
All right, I'm just saying that you're on Kevin's side on talking about how good a TV show is. That's all I'm going to say.
What does that do?
All right, where are we?
Well, last night, very special episode of Jersey Shore.
This may come as a shock to you, but Sammy and Ronnie had a fight on the episode.
Wait a minute. There was a fight?
They argued. And then, unbelievably, and they all went to a club and almost got into a fist fight at the club. Oh, it's so unique. Every week has new surprises.
That is new.
But on this week's episode, Snooki was especially downtrodden because her best friend Ryder, who had been visiting from Jersey, she had to go back home and leave Miami. So Snooki was very upset. But luckily, Vinny was there for her to have a shoulder to cry on, and they've become very close.
Oh,
Vinny has really been a good friend to Snooki, and she appreciates it.
He's like my big brother. I love him. But you usually don't have sex with your big brother.
That's true.
That's a good point.
And that separates Vinny and Snooki from being actual brother and sister. The fact that they had sex and she said he had a massive unit.
Sure.
Now, Snooki is very, very depressed. But there's one thing that can snap her out of it. Going to a club and getting drunk and getting in fights. So the idea of going to a nightclub just seems to bring her right around.
Even though I'm bummed that Ryder left, I'm very happy right now because we are going to space. Space means, like, Guido's juicehead gorillas, sexy, tan, sweaty boys.
I'm very excited.
Oh, my God.
And house music.
We're going to space!
Oh,
wow.
Man. Nothing sounds better than sweaty, greasy gorillas on steroids. That sounds wonderful.
It does sound hot.
Now, they all got to get ready to go out, you know. It's T-shirt time, and it's shirt before the shirt time.
Sure.
And all getting dressed, and J-Wow's putting on her outfit, and Snooki, I think Snooki has a hard time with the concept of the compliment. She means this in the best possible way about her friend J-Wow.
So Jenny comes out in her outfit, and I'm like, this girl's a f***ing whore. But that's why I love her. She looks so good. You know, she looks like the ultimate stripper, and she's very hot.
Yes.
So, all right.
Ladies, when your good friend calls you a whore
and a whore.
Stripper,
right,
that means you're ready to go out and have a good night on the town.
You're looking good.
Now, they go to this club, and they get into a fight, naturally, so they get thrown out of the club. So Paulie picks up two random girls, and just brings them back to the house. Thinking that Paulie and the situation are going to have a good time.
Sure.
Well, it turns out in the first 30 seconds that the situation gets a girl into his bedroom, she's not quite ready to have a good time with him.
What?
And he takes offense to that. And it turns out that the situation is the worst wingman in the history of dating.
It's kind of late right now, baby girl. And your girl is the bad one, and you're the good one. So you need to go in the other room and snuggle with yourself. Because I'm going to sleep right now.
Mike realizes that his chick's not DTF. And instead of, like, taking the girl out of the room and just entertaining her for a little bit, because my girl's DTF, instead he's like, no. He's like, I'm going to go to sleep. Your girl can wait outside.
Ah, what a gentleman.
He is really the ultimate wingman. You're right.
He is special.
You're right. And LaQuisha, forgive my ignorance here, but what is it when a girl is DTF? What does that mean?
It means she's dying to...
Oh. Okay, gotcha. Say no more.
Gotcha.
Say no more.
Yeah. Now, the one thing the situation is good for is he does make a good Sunday dinner. We all know chicken cutlet night, for example, is now legendary. But even he can make some mistakes, as he does when he sets the kitchen on fire a little bit.
Uh-oh.
And the smoke alarms go off. And it turns out that the smoke alarms are connected to the fire department, so the firemen show up to make sure everybody's okay. And they were. But Snooki was especially glad to see the firemen show up.
Like, walk out into the kitchen, there's freaking firemen here. One's tall, you know, tan, and he looked Italian, so I would have smushed that, yes. That's actually one of my fantasies, for a fireman to, like, come rescue me, like, put out my fire, literally, with, you know, like, a fire outfit on. That's hot.
I think she means figuratively,
I think she does mean that, yeah.
And secondly, that's a good choice because firemen do spend a lot of time with dogs, although they do tend to be Dalmatians instead of Italian bulldogs, which is what she looked like. And I think any fireman worth his salt would be tempted to use an axe on her if he met her.
Well, there is that.
So maybe she's going to rethink that.
Yeah.
But situation, he was not at all put out or embarrassed by the fact that he set the fire that caused the fireman to show up.
The fire department sensed there was a situation, and they rolled up and they seen the situation, so everything was cool.
Wow, does he say that a lot?
Okay, at what point does the whole situation joke that his name is a situation and there is things that involve situations, at what right. point does that no longer become entertaining for him?
For him? Never.
And as America, we've just accepted the fact that this douchebag calls himself the situation. We just let that fly instead of every single time he says it, somebody should beat him in the head and say, your name's Mike.
Well, they go out again, surprise, surprise, to another nightclub to get drunk. And Paulie is successful in bringing home some girls again. Now, in the meantime, Snooki and J-Well are trying to put together a list of everybody in the house and whether they ever have made out with each other or had sex with each other and what the relationship is between everybody. Turns out everybody pretty much shares all the same STDs at this point, yeah. is what I'm
it's
getting
at. It's a petri dish,
sure.
absolutely.
And Snooki realizes, well, frankly, she's the worst offender of all.
I'm a whore, hello? You know, I made out with Paulie, made out with Mike, and tried to have sex with Minnie, so... Whatever.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. Whatever.
Whatever. It's just her vagina. Everybody have some.
Yeah, that makes it bad.
Now, Paulie and situation coming home with these two girls they met, and really, he is the worst wingman in history. Yeah. Because these two girls, I'll tell you something, at the club, in their defense, they did look ready.
Okay.
We're at Tantra. We're having a good time, a couple drinks, and we spot these two blondes, and they were from Canada.
Yes, they were. They were from the country up north known as Canada.
Oh, please, no.
Oh, please, yes.
And they bring them home, but it turns out their sister's from Canada, and one of the Canada sisters is engaged to be married.
In Canada?
In Canada.
All right.
And she is reticent to give up sexual favors to the situation.
Sure.
Once again, he's demanding them about 30 seconds after he gets them back to the house. And she's declining, and once again, he proves that he is no friend of Paulie's.
I'm being out in like 5 minutes.
It's all good.
No, we're just going for like 5 minutes, and we're going
to
go.
You don't want to change?
You guys are being out in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
So then why don't you guys be out now, then?
Like, oh, no, deja vu all over again.
What a douchebag.
It's called, if you're going to be out in 5 minutes, then you need to leave now, then.
Might as well.
You're only kidding.
No.
You're only kidding.
No.
I was nice enough to bring home two instead of just bringing home one. At least entertain a chick or do something so I can get it in.
Pass. I want to leave.
So I can get it in. Yeah. These nice. Are romantic fellas, these boys.
And he was nice enough to bring home two.
He was.
He gave that gift to more than one woman last night. That's amazing.
That's right. And the situation could not even do the right thing and sing Old Canada or something and keep the girl happy or play some hockey with her or something. But no, he has to be all selfish and whatnot with himself.
Yeah.
But next week, in the final episode, they leave Miami, and they go to the Everglades. So let's keep our fingers crossed that one of them gets eaten by an alligator.
Oh, please, God.
I hope so.
Thank you, LaQuisha.
All righty.
Bye now.